This week, rumors swirl about Microsoft discussing a means for its titles to become available on the Nintendo Switch. This announcer would love more games available in a highly portable means. This is just one mixy rumor. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 765 for this February 24th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as always, is the one and only Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We had a little live technical hiccups in the beginning, but I think we got it all worked out.
Yes.
Do you know what I had to do to fix the issue?
Turn it off and turn it back on.
I had to turn it off and then turn it back on again, and I fixed it.
All right.
Like magic. Go figure. Tech support 101. Not joining us tonight in studio, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers, but this is the last week of her work thing that has kept her off the air for several months. Of course, we'll hear from her at the classic game of the week, as we have been over the past few months, but she will be back in studio full-time next week, so that's pretty exciting.
Yay.
I know we had her last week, but you know, she's like, that was a special thing. So, but joining us tonight in studio is Mr. Smush, and you might hear him in the background meowing because I don't know what he's going.
He was
crazy.
Probably coming after my sandwich because I have half of it sitting on the couch right here.
Oh, so he's like smelling the turkey or chicken or whatever's in your sandwich that you got.
Yes,
I see. All right, that explains a lot. He does kind of go crazy when he smells food because he thinks it's like feeding time, just like me, just like Dad. So there you go. We, of course, are live on the interwebs, as we always are, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. We are on Twitch TV, the easiest way to find us, Twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Hello to everybody that's out there in our chat room over at Twitch TV, and some folks talking a little bit about intro that we did with we had a little joke, A Star Ryu is Born, because there's obviously the Oscars are going on tonight, which, I mean, I don't really care about the Oscars. We've been doing this show for so long, and not to be like that hipster that's like, well, I don't care because my stuff is more important, but I mean, to me, this is more important, and it's just, you know, I don't know, it's like, it's an award show, whatever. Like, whether Gaga wins the Oscar or not, it's not going to change what kind of an artist she is and all this stuff. So I just kind of... Mm-hmm. I do understand, though, that the Oscars can bring, like, visibility, maybe. And that's what it really used to be, is that it really brought visibility to films that maybe otherwise people wouldn't see. But I feel like in this day and age, with all the campaigns going behind it and all the lead-up with the hype and the 24/7 internet news coverage, it's kind of a whatever. So,
yes.
But yet we all want gaming to have an awards ceremony. I can tie it to gaming. We all want gaming to have an awards ceremony.
But they have so many game trailers during the awards ceremony. See, if like it's had like movie trailer debuts.
Oh, make it like the MTV Movie Awards, but like, okay.
So that's more, who cares about the Oscars?
Loki, you know the Oscars have been having problems. They don't even have a host this year. They got so many problems.
I would have hosted. No one called me. I was sitting here waiting, and it's like, my phone's not ringing, I guess. I'm not hosting the Oscars this year, unfortunately.
All right, well,
here I am.
We'll be waiting here, waiting for your call. All right.
I mean, they were scraping the bottom of the barrel to try to find people to do it. And I'm telling you, I'm at the bottom of that barrel. So,
did you hear like the conspiracy theory that Whoopi Goldberg secretly was off The View because she was prepping to host the Oscars? Because she'd done it before. So, of course, you know, who better to host than somebody that hosted before? But no, she just had pneumonia. People made up that rumor. It's funny. In our chat over at Twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Questbuster says, I'll see the winner's list tomorrow morning. That's kind of where I'm at. That's where I'm at. And Bobby Blackwolf says, unfortunately, the game trailers pay for the game awards. That's why they have to cram in the awards. That is a true statement, though, is that, you know, they're commercials. Those game trailers are commercials.
I don't care why they're there. I just like that they're there. I mean,
makes sense.
You know, I don't care. It's fine.
All right. Well, I guess movies are on everybody's mind, so it's appropriate that our kickoff topic tonight has a little bit to do with movies, right?
Yes, it has to do with movies that were on Steam, because they had that. I think the only movie they had on Steam was Indie Game, the movie from Humble Bundle.
You're actually really, really wrong, and this is the perfect reason why there are no longer movies on Steam. I think Indie Game, the movie, was like the first one, because they kind of released it like it was a game, and they had achievements.
Well, no, I said the only game, only movie I had was
Indie Game, the movie.
I'm sorry. But wait, it's totally, you know.
Okay, sorry.
Throw me under the bus there. It's fine. No, the only movie that I had on Steam, I think, was Indie Game the Movie.
Throw you under the Pikachu.
Under the Pikachu.
Right, that's all I got.
But no, they did have more movies on there. It's just not a lot of people really remembered that they had them on there. And plus, there's like a lot of different other video platforms. So I think if they did more like Humble Movie Bundles or something like that, they might have, you know, brought more exposure to it. But it didn't seem like that a lot of people knew about it or cared about it, and so now it's going away.
Well, and I also, like, when were movies ever featured on the front page of Steam? Like, I've
like,
never seen movies. Is it because they switched more to that algorithm where it's kind of like everybody has a custom store based on the content you buy, so if you're not buying movies, you never see movies, but, like, hello, how am I going to know about movies if they're not there? Plus, they weren't exactly cheap either, right?
No.
Like, maybe if they had, like, a 99-cent movie once in a while, people might be more into it. Or maybe a movie rental thing. I mean, I don't know.
Like, I'm looking right now because, like, my library, I've got my library of stuff. And so I don't even know where this would be because there's games, software, VR, and music. I don't see movies. So is that under software? Nope. So is it under music? Nope.
So you're saying that it really feels like the movies is like just super like kind of like tacked on under a rock. You have to kind of know where to go to get it. Kind of like what Xbox indie games turned into.
Like, I don't even know where I would go in Steam to watch that movie they have.
Well, indie game shows up as a game. I know because I have that same movie because I think I got that indie game, the movie, in one of those things you're talking about, like a Humble Pack or something. Mm. So it's in the store in like as just like a game. But that was a very special thing. Not all movies kind of like worked like that.
Yeah. Well, it's gone or it's going to be gone soon. So hope you didn't get attached to it.
Yeah. I guess this kind of leads to a bigger question about how important is the integration of movies and all this stuff into your service, because I mean, I think about like my PlayStation 4, like especially because it's in the living room, it's kind of like my device that's in there. I do a lot of Twitch TV on it,
yeah.
And I really wish the Twitch TV app had like the same. I wish it was on par with the PC desktop version. Like you can't search by tags on the PS4 version, and I do that a lot. So like, there's little things that I would like to still see improved and have like the parity with desktop, but whatever. But I do a lot of like Netflix. Mm-hmm. In fact, Sony in particular really has a nice little like one-stop thing. Like when you go into the TV and movies, it kind of shows like all these movies and it shows like what platforms they're all on.
Yeah.
Like, this one's on Amazon Prime. This one's on Hulu. So you kind of know like where to go. And I think you can actually search for anything and it'll show you what service it's in, which is brilliant.
A lot of different, yeah. I know like Google TV does, or Android TV does the same thing. You can search by that stuff. Roku, I think my Roku TV does that. Maybe. I don't know. I just remember my old one does. And it has like voice chat, which never really worked correctly. But yeah, I mean, I don't tend to buy movies digitally just because we have all these services that kind of keep coming and going away. I've looked at a few like during the sales and stuff, and they have on the PlayStation Store, like they'll have movies for sale sometimes, and they're still always too expensive. It's like $10 for a movie. I'm like, I'll just buy the physical movie if I'm going to do that. So that's when we turn to the old piracy.
Well, I don't pirate movies, but I think you're right about the subscription service. I don't remember the last time I bought a movie. Like, it's been a long time. I know I bought Tron Legacy on Blu-ray, but yeah. That was how many years ago? Like, that was 2010, was that movie?
Well, yeah, and also my...
I honestly don't remember the last time I bought a Blu-ray.
The last stuff I'm acquiring is just, you know, for my wife or my kids to watch, and then they'll watch it and get bored with it.
But it's all, for me, it's all subscription service, which is interesting because that's where music went, right?
Yeah.
Music was, it was all about going to, for me, when I was younger, here I go, I'm going to date myself, y'all ready? I used to go to the warehouse, or Tower Records.
That was back
when...
Oh,
the guy at Tower Records knew me.
Back at the warehouse, I remember I actually received a gift certificate. Not a gift card, a gift certificate, a written out mm-hmm. piece of paper that you would take in to redeem for money.
Yeah. So I would go get the new, the guy at Tower Records knew me. Like, it was like, oh, he's the one that will want the import Björk single that came in with the rare remix of Hyper Ballad or whatever it is. Like, he knew, they knew me there. But yeah, I used to like buy all that stuff. And then Napster came out. And, like, I would still buy CDs. I didn't like to pirate things, you know, all the time. I would still buy CDs for the artists I support. But for those, like, ultra-rare remixes that was, like, a Europe-only CD type of thing, you got to pay $12 because I would...
It's only on the vinyl.
I would download those on Napster because, you know, like, I'm not... Like, you know, it was a ridiculous amount we were paying, right? So I kind of justified it with that. But then iTunes came out and that really changed everything. It made everything like a worldwide market. Like, there was no import stuff hardly anymore. Yeah. Maybe in the very, very beginning, but now, you know, there's so much you can download like worldwide and through Apple Music, through Spotify. You know, we just had a story about Capcom soundtracks all being on Spotify last week. Like, you know, subscription services, where it's at. Now movies doing this very similar thing, right? Like, I don't really buy movies ever. I can't tell you, like, I have a very impressive collection of DVDs from when I lived with you and you worked for the movie distributor and you're always like, oh, this is like a gay film. Rob would like this. Get the
DVD. I didn't always do that.
It wasn't just that. But like, you knew the stuff I like too. Like, oh, Strangers with Candy, the movie. Rob's like obsessed with that show. I'll pull that, which I deeply appreciate to this day. However, the reality is, like, how often do I really pop in those discs? I just don't. Because now it's more about, oh, I want to watch something. Let's go to Netflix. Right?
Yeah.
And so for anybody that listens to Shaking and Crying, cheap plug, because that just came back, Victoria told me that I had to, like, my homework assignment was to watch Abducted in Plain Sight, which I did.
Yes.
Which, wow, is all I have to say. Wow, that's all I have to say about that.
My wife watched that, and she wanted me to watch it, but I was like, no, it sounds stupid.
All Victoria told me was, like, the beginning about, like, yeah, and the parents didn't call for 5 days. Like, it'll blow your mind. I'm like, why wouldn't they do it? She's like, you just have to watch the movie. And I was not ready for that. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to be, like, glowing movie critic here, but that is – I mean, but that conversation, it wasn't like, oh, I got to go buy this Blu-ray or, oh, I got to go, you know, to the store or I got to go rent this. I got to go to the rental store. It's just, oh, I'm going to log on to Netflix and get it, you know, and that's why places like CBS All Access with their Twilight Zone remake and all this stuff that, you know, looks really good and Hulu and, you know, everybody else wants to do all of their subscription things, right? And then video game consoles have been a great way to kind of house all that in one, especially these smart ones to kind of bring all that together. Now, Here comes the game part, right? Because music did it, TV did it. How long before games do it? And you already see a lot of companies dipping their toe in the water of this, right? Like Microsoft very clearly is pushing this Game Pass thing. That's what they want to do. And they see this. And Microsoft's like, oh, I kind of want to be, you know, we want to be like the Netflix of video games. Nintendo, to some extent, for better or for worse, doing it with their classic library on Switch Online, right?
Yeah.
Havsies. But, like, look at a lot of the games that, like, everybody's talking about right now, too. Well, it's, like, and free stuff. It's not, like, 60. I mean, somewhat.
Yeah, like,
I just can't help
but
think of Apex. Everybody's talking
about
that.
When I bought Crackdown 3, they were pushing Game Pass on that. And they're like, well, you can just purchase Game Pass and you get this for this, or you can buy the full thing. I'm like, well, I'm just going to buy the full thing. But to be honest, I probably could have just bought Game Pass for that. I just didn't know, like, I don't know if it works on PC yet. Like, I know a lot of that stuff is cross-buy, so you would think, okay, because it's available in Game Pass, this should be available on PC to be able to download. But I wasn't sure if that's a thing yet, so I didn't purchase the Game Pass that way. But having finished Crackdown, yeah.
Yeah, lots of comments in chat on this subject. Crystal Skies 80 says, I did that with Anthem. So I know some people are just buying that month subscription to the EA service because maybe they feel like, oh, I'm only going to really play Anthem for a month, and then I'll move over to the next big thing, right? Like, yeah. I feel like these types of services are made for people like me that just, like, don't have gaming attention span, right? Let's see. SG100 Matt says, I used to collect DVDs and Blu-rays, not so much anymore with the instant gratification I get from streaming it. And not to, I think that's important too, like collectibles, collectors, like definitely, like I'm not saying like kill Blu-rays, Netflix is the only way. I'm not saying that at all, actually, because like as collectibles, as I will still even pick up a CD once in a while, but you know where I'll pick up a CD? At a concert with the artist there about ready to sign it as like a memory, a collectible of that night or of that experience type of thing, right?
I don't tend to buy CDs anymore, just because of the way I listen to my music in my car. But I will purchase like MP3s directly from the artists and stuff a lot of times. Like one artist I'm fawning over right now is the band Gunship. So I tend to buy a lot of their albums and stuff all digitally, and so they're getting all of the profit from that and their merch and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. That seems to be the better way for me to do it, because I can find music online and I can, you know, purchase directly from the artist. I used to, though, what I used to like back before, you know, the internet was fast and everything, was going to a lot of these record stores and buying the, like, compilation, like, trance, electronica type things, because that introduced me to more artists and stuff, and then I could go search those artists out on, you know,
which is funny because it's like Spotify to me now is these playlists that are all curated by Spotify, and it's like, here's some of the artists you like with a few others mixed in we'd think you'd like. And I gotta say, like, I've discovered like a lot of great music because of that I really do like. So yeah. I mean, not to like endorse somebody that's not paying for an advertisement, but it is what it is, right? That's kind of how it goes now. So, and funny enough, this whole show starting around Dance Dance Revolution and music game culture, where did all that music from DDR come from in the beginning? That Dance Mania compilation, like the trance, but for, you know, silly dance music that was popular overseas. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So anyway, that's pretty awesome.
Anyway, you know, we deviated a little bit from the whole like Steam doing movies, but I guess this maybe all comes back to like, you know, maybe if Steam had done something that was a little more subscription based, or maybe something with original content. But I just feel like Steam in this kind of era, I don't know if they've really been doing it so much lately, but there's definitely a time when Steam was just kind of like, oh, we're just going to throw that in. We're going to throw that in there. We're going to throw in the movies and do that. Well, it's the broadcasting too. Do you guys remember Steam has a whole like Twitch TV competitor thing built into it? Like Steam broadcasting?
Yeah, but no one remembers that.
And why not?
Because they don't push it.
Steam just kind of, eh. And maybe, you know,
may not be a space that they want to get into.
I don't want to like hammer this into the ground, but maybe this is a drawback about the way Valve is structured in general, right? You've heard this about Valve, right? Nobody has a title at Valve. Nobody has like primary responsibilities at Valve. They find something they want to work on. It's just Gabe and then everybody else. So you guys might remember.
That's kind of how I work at my job. I find things I want to work on.
You guys might remember a long time ago when that employee manual from Valve leaked, and who knows if it was intentional or not, but it describes a lot of this type of culture. But maybe this is part of where there's a little bit of an issue, because nobody is really designated as, oh, you're the guy that's going to make sure that broadcasting goes a step further on Steam, or you're the guy that's going to make sure we make a lot of
movie
deals.
Of us are working on Half-Life 3. No wonder it's not coming out. Jeez. So I thought you were working on it. No, I thought you were working on it.
I don't know. That's just kind of my thought on Steam. Let me get a few more chat comments here in our chat. Over Twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Miltonius Games says, it's hard now being more selective in what I put in my house while also wanting to support smaller things. That's why I like Twitch subs and Patreon. Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, and this is a great way. Like, obviously, we love you guys that do the subs and the biddies and stuff. It does go a long way in running this as a business and helping us to grow and attend more conventions and stuff like that. But to spare you that whole line, like, obviously, that's a great way to really reach out and directly affect, you know, creators and so forth. Metal Mayhem says, aside from some stuff that Steam has given away for free, I never grabbed any videos from Steam, especially since most are streaming only. If I were to pay money for digital videos, it'll be through iTunes or whatever. At least there I can download videos. There's a good point, too. If Steam wasn't really letting you keep it on your own drive to like build up a collection when your internet goes down or something, like then, you know, that ownership, I think, is important to some people. I think that's a really good point. So
I'm pretty sure I had movies through like Ultraviolet or something, but hell if I remember what my...
Well, you did hear the news, the Ultraviolet's like...
Yeah, I don't care, though. I don't even care what movies I had on there.
There's a Blu-ray over there on the counter, and I was just looking at it, and I'm like, there's an Ultraviolet sticker on this. I wonder if, like, Alan or I ever, like, redeem that. There's so many people that probably never even bothered to redeem their digital copies.
I just don't care. Like, at this point, it's like, who cares?
Well, because now, I mean...
I have one movie on Google Play movies.
What's that?
I have Elf because they gave it away for free at one time.
I have a few movies on iTunes because they're all movies that I did Shadowcast stuff with. So I have Rocky Horror Picture Show on iTunes. I have Clue the Movie on iTunes. I have Repo the Genetic Opera on iTunes because it's great because you can go and any scene, like on my phone, I can go and it's like, okay, we want to look at this one scene or whatever. It's just like right there. And so that is extremely useful. But that's about, you know, the most that I've used that stuff for. But anyway, so I know there's like another part to
this. Yes. So other stuff, since that's going away, well, what's going in its place or what other things are they adding to the service? Well, one thing that they're going to be adding is Next VR virtual reality broadcasts. So these are basically like broadcasts of different events like NHL, ICC soccer games, WWE matches, concerts and whatnot. And so you can actually kind of have a view from, you know, courtside or whatever, and you can kind of look around as like you're right there. So it's going to be available. I think it's just like a software package that they're selling, but they're going to basically allow you to use your Vive or, you know, Windows Mixed Reality headset to watch this stuff on Steam.
Well, I mean, that's cool. Like, it's nice to see VR in applications that aren't just games.
Yeah.
You know, the real world stuff. And I kind of think this is the type of market that VR would be even more, you know, get more exposure and stuff for, and why Facebook got on in the business of VR as well. But I digress. It's interesting, though, that Steam, on the one hand, right as they're saying, you know what, we're kind of done with this movies, is yet welcoming in, let's do this live broadcast and, you know, event type broadcasting with the you know, same things people do pay-per-view for, wrestling matches, concerts, and so forth, when Steam hasn't really showed that they really go all in on anything. Like, Steam has broadcasting, but
surprised you don't do this like at not necessarily conventions there's, but like at arenas and stuff, like actually have you pay a subscription service to see all of the shows that are at this arena, you know, from home, the virtual. I guess they'd lose a lot of money that way, and that's probably why they
probably
do that.
I mean, arenas make a lot of money from food and, you know, everything else.
Yeah,
but
okay.
But if you think about, I mean, if you think about like WrestleMania or something like that, you know, once it sells out, or whatever wrestling event, once it sells out, they sell the pay-per-view, so they'll still sell more seats and stuff. But I think a subscription for that, I mean, sure, it sounds great, but I don't know if these stars make a lot of money to do these live appearances, so it would be an expensive ticket if nothing else. You know, think about what somebody's paying for a season ticket to, like, for the Kings game or something. You know, they ain't cheap.
Well, so, I don't know.
Anyway. All right, well, we'll see. I'd be curious to see, you know, if Steam actually kind of throws their back into this. I mean, I know they have an interest in this too, with Vive, or if they just kind of half-ass it, you know?
Or, you know, let's put this on other platforms like the PlayStation virtual reality headset. It'd be nice.
In chat, Miltonius Games says arena digital tickets will probably happen. To be fair, I mean, short the subscription. Maybe you're talking about the subscription thing he's talking about, but as far as like, it kind of already happens. Be it, you know, the football game is on TV and it's being subsidized by advertising. You're paying for it by watching ads, right? When you watch the Super Bowl or the NFL or something like that, whether you're watching the NFL on Twitter or on NBC or whatever, you're subsidizing it with ads. So you're still paying for it one way or the other, right? Which is why if they don't sell X number of seats, you get the blackout, right? And you can't watch it because they want to fill up the arena first. But sure, if they can find a way to milk it, to squeeze the toothpaste thing till it's completely out, of course they'll sell more seats. But they're not really – they do it for like sporting events. They don't and like WrestleMania and boxing and stuff like that. But they don't really do it for concerts.
Like Disney on Ice or
– yeah. But like, well, once in a while it'll be like, oh, but this last concert on the tour they filmed – for the Blu-ray, you know, or there might be a pay-per-view event or something, but not every show. But it's interesting. It would be interesting to see what Next VR's kind of market would be for that and what it might develop with that. So, SSG100 Matt in our chat says, there's going to be a war when it comes to live sports and VR. So much money is involved that it's going to explode very quickly. Yeah, it'll be so interesting in probably 5 years to look back on shows like this and what we were thinking of VR then. Because I think especially as that VR, you know, we got in a little bit of a spirited exchange about VR last week on the show. And you know, Jamie had brought up some concerns about, like, you know, the big like headset and everything you kind of have to put on your head. And I'm kind of like, I feel like That sure. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I don't like wearing that PlayStation headset even for an extended period of time. But you know, the technology is going to be there in just 5-10 years. Wait, yeah. Where it's just like a little set of glasses, like swim goggles that you put on, and it's going to be able to show VR. And if you don't believe me, think about the desktop computer from 1995 that you had, and what these little cell phone guys can do now. You know, it's crazy. So. How fast technology advances and so forth. So Bobby Blackwolf does point out, so to be fair, Next VR has been around for years. It was even available for the Vive, just not on Steam. It was on Viveport. It's been an Oculus thing since 2015. Well, certainly Steam going in there is now like, here's a chance to put it in front of gamers and go into this audience. And why not do gaming events? Shit, esports getting more and more, right? Especially as Overwatch League's really taken off. Dota, huge worldwide, and I mean, and Steam has a big thing for that. So, you know, that would be a great thing for them to do possibly with the VR, but will they? Will they go all in like that? We don't know. That's up to Valve, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, enough about that. Let's move on because we have other stories to talk about. But of course, we got to talk about our own gaming weeks as well and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Yes. So, Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was all right. I did play a few things. So I finally got around to playing Tetris 99, and that was okay. I played that for a bit. It's a little frustrating, though, because it's like...
Because you kept coming in 80th place?
Well, yeah, that too. But like...
I didn't mean to shade you.
No, it's just like it's just random like garbage like just comes on the screen all the time. I mean, and I get it, that's the point of it. But like it seems like the whole targeting other people and stuff is pretty much useless. Like I just set it to default to like whoever's attacking or whatever, but there's like seems no strategy whatsoever to that at all.
So I'll give a shout out to somebody who I know has listened to OLR in the past and has had a lot of success on Twitch streaming this, but Kevin DDR, if you're out there, howdy howdy. Glad to see you're doing very well for yourself on Twitch. And he streams a lot of this Tetris 99 because he was playing all the, like it's the same creators that made the Grandmaster.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
He's done very well with that with the oh my god, why is the name of that? Speed Games Dunk. Awesome Games Done Quick,
yeah.
Knew it come to me. My brain's getting slower in my old age. But anyway, it's the same company that made those games, made this Tetris 99. And so I've been watching his stream a little bit here. I've been lurking.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of explained some of the, like, why he might target a certain way or do like what he's doing. And I've actually kind of learned a little bit just like watching him because the dude's a pro when it comes to Tetris and he does very well in his wins on that. So kind of interesting how you can like learn about the game stuff from watching people on Twitch and stuff.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, it was come over to my house and watch me beat level 3-3 when you couldn't do it. And, you know, now it's Twitch.
Yeah. So I did play a little bit of that and it was all right. I tried out the demo for Daemon X Machina and I was bored with that. I am not picking up that game, which is disappointing because I like Armored Core and stuff, but I just didn't find this game too exciting.
I'm curious why bored. You just
it was very slow paced and it seemed like that everything was kind of lock on targeting type stuff. It just didn't have the kind of action and I don't know, it wasn't paced as well as like Armored Core where it was like pretty fast paced and dashing around stuff. It was more of like, hey, fly around and shoot a thing and okay, and I don't know. It was all right, but I am not planning on picking it up, which is disappointing because it looked pretty awesome originally. But I did mostly play this week Crackdown 3. I didn't get to stream any of it, but I finished the game. It's very short, but I mean, it's Crackdown. Crackdown was very short as well. They want you to play through it multiple times, I guess. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I'm at the point now where I was just trying to 100% everything, max out my agent, but I don't know how long I'm actually gonna play around with that because it's getting to the point now where it's boring. And even like with like some of the later levels, all they do is just throw more things at your way, and it's like artificially trying to increase the difficulty by just throwing like, okay, now there's 30 people attacking you at once. Okay, well, they're not even harder to kill. It's just I'm getting shot by like every little thing in all sides, and somehow they're able to track me even though they can't see me, and just ridiculous stuff like that. But there's not much of a penalty for dying. You just kind of respawn, and especially with the boss fights, you respawn, the boss is just like, oh, hey, the boss followed me, so now I'm hearing the bosses flying around or something. And even like the end boss in the game was just very kind of, that's it? This is your big boss? It's pretty lame. Okay. And then they hint at something like, I don't know if it's from the earlier games, because I have played Crackdown 1 and 2. But like they hint at some, like there's like some guy's severed arm, and I'm supposed to know who the fuck this person is. And like he's supposed to be the guy that's like kind of controlling everything. But then there's like, it doesn't go anywhere. It's just you finish the game and you're done. And it's like,
stay tuned for the DLC.
I guess a DLC or like sequel. I mean, Crackdown 4, am I going to have to wait another 12 years for that? I mean, like, I don't know what they were trying to do with that. And I mean, I guess my bad if I don't remember the first and second game that well. I know, like, I think some of the agents that were in the first game are, like, DNA things that you can find in the new game. And I maybe that's the same with the second game as well. But I remember there was some, like, Agent Rodriguez or something like that that were in the first game. But I don't know. It's just kind of... It's just Crackdown. It's what it is. It's very, like, I had very low expectations for it. It's kind of, I don't know, it was entertaining. But now that I've finished it within like a week, I kind of wish, gee, that Game Pass would have been a, you know, a worthy investment, because this game isn't very long. And the multiplayer, I have no interest in playing.
I was just about to ask about multiplayer.
I haven't played the multiplayer yet. I could try that, I guess. I've watched people play it online. I hear it's kind of lame. Just because it ends up being, since you can see the other players at all times on the map, so like you can see the Reddit, like where they are, even through buildings and stuff, so that it ends up being whoever gets to the homing missiles first wins. Oh. Because it's just, you know, homing missiles all the time.
Oh, so there's no, like, there's no way you can hide, or there's no stealth in it.
No.
Weird.
So, I don't know. I'll try, but it's not something like I'm very excited about. Co-op might be fun. If I had someone to play with, it'd be kind of fun. But, you know, my character's maxed out, and you can restart the game with your character maxed out. I don't know why I would want to do that other than, oh, now I can rush just straight to the end and just kill the boss and be
new
done
game
with it.
Plus.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm kind of getting over this already, but it was fun while it lasted.
All right.
Anything Pokemon else? Go, oh. And that's about it.
Okay, for my week, Pokemon Go as well. They had that special little clam pearl day yesterday.
Yeah, I got one of those.
I had family stuff, so I couldn't really like go the whole 3 hours, but they really improved on that Phoebus event, which was a similar thing a couple months ago. They really improved on it. Like, the quests were much more manageable, and it was nice that they kind of changed the spawns during that time as well. So I caught 2 shinies, only getting to play for like an hour and a half, so I was pretty happy with it. I just wish, like, I don't want there to be a Pokemon Go thing every freaking weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wish they would just do like 1 weekend a month and that's it, you know, and then don't give us more than like a few days before, you know, cause they only announced it on like Tuesday or Wednesday that, hey, this Saturday is going to be a big event. It's like, you know,
or do them at different times, like shuffle the times around too.
Well,
like,
be careful what you ask for, because that next community day, the next community day they're doing is Trico, and it's going to be on March 23rd, and it's from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. So they're doing it more in the evening. Well, that's our time. So East Coasters, that's going to be 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's like at night. So that's going to be a little weird, I think. But so a lot of people don't understand the why behind it. And I'm not saying this is the reason, but I am saying this is quite the coincidence. So their other game, Niantic's other game, Ingress, which y'all know I've followed for a long time, Ingress is having a big, what they call anomaly event, which is their live events. Now, obviously, they're not nearly as big as what happens in Pokemon Go, but they are events that take that game's resources in cities around the world. So in the U.S., it happens to be on that day. Funny enough, Atlanta, where our pal Bobby's at, is one of the cities, and Las Vegas is the other. So that event runs from, I think it's 10 a.m., until either 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. But that event is already in the block where Community Day would usually be. So
then how about you just don't do a Community Day next week?
That would have been my answer. Like, I can't explain why they insist on doing them the same day. But I was going to say there's a lot of Ingressers that also play Pokemon Go that would be kind of pissed, because you really have to focus when it's anomaly time, because that's, you know, player very, very intense player versus player stuff, right? You don't want to be over there catching Pokemon. So they probably scattered out the times a little bit so people could do both. But why did they feel the need to do – I don't think any Ingress player would have been upset. And to be fair, there's far less Ingress players, Pokemon Go players. I get that. But you also have to consider resources on Niantic's system and so forth, because lots of Ingress players will be logged in at that time. But anyway, I'm just surprised they just didn't do it a different – do it on the Sunday.
Yeah, no one's going to stop and say, oh, I got to catch Treecko, because, dude, it's Treecko.
Yeah. Bobby in chat is asking, Rob, so you flying out? No, no, I'm not. Nothing that crazy. Well, I guess maybe a little that crazy, because it is why I am going to Chicago in May. Memorial Day weekend, they're doing a big event in Chicago. But the thing about Chicago that makes it special is that, whereas I mentioned there's cities around the world, and Las Vegas and Atlanta are two of them, in that weekend in May, Memorial Day weekend in Chicago, that is the only one in Chicago. That's it. And then they're doing another mega anomaly in Asia somewhere one of the other weekends. So that's part of the reason I'm going to Chicago. And the fact I just know like people in Chicago always have a good time there. So, yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to digress on the Ingress tangent, but I guess I did. But it also, I think, explains why maybe they're changing things up in Pokemon Go. Other games I played this week, I've continued to play things like World of Warcraft, of course, and Kingdom Hearts 3, Tetris 99, still fun for me. But I did play some, well, I played some old stuff and some new stuff. So here's the old thing. So my buddy Delvin, or VG Realness, who's probably in chat right now, I saw a minute ago, convinced me to start a Phantasy Star Online character. Yes, Phantasy Star Online from like 2000, which I think Blueburst went offline in like 2007. But of course, thanks to the wonders of homegrown servers and that whole thing. So there's still servers where you can play Phantasy Star Online to this day.
Like so, the Dreamcast one?
This one's all powered on, I'm sure that exists, but the one I'm playing is all powered on Blueburst, the PC client that they had, which is the same, it's the same game, but Blueburst had episode 4. So there's actually kind of like more. Mm. So the PC probably got the biggest version, so to speak. So he convinced me to roll a character there, and I was playing that actually Friday night on my personal stream over at Rob Roberts on Twitch. We went for like 4 hours. I was playing like all night Friday. Started a character from scratch, got all the way up to like level 11. We were having a good time. Bobby joined us for a little while, and it was fun. Yeah, so we'll probably stream that again at some point, because as much as I would like play Phantasy Star Online, I would get through like forest, maybe a little bit of caves. I think I got to the third one. What's the third one? Ruins or something? I think I got as far as that, but like I've never actually beat Phantasy Star Online. So Delvin's like, no, we're doing this. This is going to be a series on Twitch. We're going to beat this damn game. So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of into it, because Phantasy Star is fun. Playing with friends is fun, and talking and stuff is always a good time. So I've been enjoying that. So living it up like it's the year 2000. But I did play new stuff as well, okay? So I finally, after all the talk about it for like 3 weeks, I went into my first Apex Legends matches. Okay, so I did it not only on PlayStation 4, but I also played on PC. So I did a match on each, and it was funny. You know what? On the PlayStation 4 match I did, we came in fourth.
Cool.
Not bad, right? Out of like 20 teams. So here's the thing. So like I noticed, because I was a level 1 player, I was getting matched with people on my squad that were like level 24. Level 26. Like I was getting matched with like high level people, right? So I was just like, I'm just gonna follow. And like what I thought was, so I played Lifeline when I played on PlayStation 4, and I was just like, it's like, you are the jump master. I was like, the fuck I am. I because there's a button you can press to pass it to somebody else. I'm like, I don't know where to land us. So that's the nice thing, is you can pass somebody else. But I will say one thing I really did like about Apex Legends, nobody was really talking at all on the headsets, which is fine because people could be shitty. But they were using that ping. Like it would, like I was like, they like were ping and everything. Ping, there's a gun over here, ping. And the nice way it's built into the game is that the characters like talk about the pings, you know, and so forth. And yeah. Then, like, let's say somebody pinged a gun, like Bloodhound might go like, there's a gun over here. However, you know, Bloodhound's accent's very unique. You know, it says like, there's a gun over here. And then if you go pick up the gun, you can, it'll say, press down to thank Bloodhound. And so you press down, and then, you know, Lifeline will be like, thank you, I needed that, or whatever, you know, she says. So it was kind of fun in that regard. So yeah, all I did, I was just like, okay, when you're a new player, just stick with your squad, right? Because that's probably the thing that annoys veteran players, is when new people get in there and think, like, just run off crazy. So I stayed with my people. I was like, okay, when I see people show up, I'll put down the little drone. And we did okay for ourselves. I gotta give props to the Wraith in our match, because it was me, a Bloodhound, or Lifeline, Bloodhound, Wraith. and myself and Bloodhound died. Wraith fucking went back, saved us, went all the way to one of those respawn points to bring us back into the match. Like, she was a rock star. She brought us back. Like, and then we were able to, that's how we got fourth place, because pretty much she was sneaking around everything to get to the respawn thing and got us back in the match after like four more teams had been eliminated. So that was kind of fun, right? And the way I'm talking about it, it's kind of like a sports match or something. So it was fun.
Yeah.
I played it on PC. That time I played as Bloodhound because I wanted to see some different abilities, and I heard the tracking thing was pretty cool, and a good thing for new players to do is that you can just keep spamming that tracking thing, and it's actually kind of helpful for people. So I was like, all right, I'll try this with Bloodhound. But my experience didn't go as well on PC because the Jumpmaster kept launching us back in air and like would not find a place to land. And then of course all of a sudden they got on the mic, and then of course the two of them got on the microphones, and it was like, dude, what the fuck? You gonna fucking land this fucking thing? What the fuck are you doing? As people do, you know, when they go, it's like when this microphone ends up in their mouth, it's just instantly they go to shit. And that's it. So I tried to kind of do the same thing, and I stuck with the team. But of course, the two of them were fighting, and it was just ugly. And how about this, Loki? We came in 16th. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So when everything was polite and using pings and they were helping me out, we get fourth. When everybody's like, it's 16th. Irritating. Anyway. All right. Going to our chat over Twitch.tv/VOG Network. Miltonius Game says, I love that Lifeline can drop helpful gears or special power. I can help while being bad. Have you noticed that Apex really pushes you to play Lifeline? Like, and I think that's smart. Like, the game teaches you to start as a support character because you play Lifeline in the tutorial. Lifeline is like your default character and your profile and all this. Like, the game really pushes the healer on you. And she's not, I mean, like, you, it's not like you're playing Overwatch and like your attacking is completely like negated. Like, you can still fire a gun as Lifeline. It's just her ability is more around the healing and the special drops and all that. So the game really pushes you to want to like Lifeline, which I think is really smart and probably part of the reason it's doing well. Let's see. And Metal Mayhem says, hey now, race an all-star. He's quoting lyrics from Smash Mouth. How dare you? And then SS2100 Matt says, I had a roommate in college put on academic probation because he skipped class to play PSO. That was a million years ago. He somehow graduated in the end. Do you know, like, Phantasy Star Online has come up, like, not just on the Twitch chat, but in some of the group chats and so forth. Do you know how many people I've talked to that are like, oh, yeah, I flunked XYZ because of PSO? Like, Phantasy Star Online, like, ruined lives. It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. So, anyway, there it is. Some old stuff and some new stuff. And I had a fun week. And I will continue to play more in the coming weeks.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, let's move on. Let's get to some more gaming news. I don't really have a lot of housekeeping. You should continue to follow us on Twitch. Twitch, of course, at VOG Network. Twitter as well, at OLR is where our Twitter account is at. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. So let's get to some more gaming news.
Yes. So there's an announcement from Google that's going to happen during GDC. It's on the 19th. They've got a little animated image that they are talking about. It's kind of like teasing this mysterious announcement, basically saying, you know, gather around, all will be explained on 3/19. And of course, this is expected to be their announcement of their new gaming platform. So it could be a console or whatever, something codenamed Yeti. And they've kind of dabbled with gaming stuff before with they had that whole experiment with Assassin's Creed Odyssey that you could stream in the Chrome browser type thing. So maybe it has something to do with that. But I guess we'll find out in about a month. It's not that long. So it's kind of neat to see what this will be.
Any thoughts? I know everybody's playing armchair critic.
I don't know. My thought is I'm going to be underwhelmed because it always tends to be like whenever one of these, you know, platforms comes out with, oh, hey, we're going to do some gaming thing, you know, whether it be like Game Center on the iOS and whatever Android has on the Google side of things, Google Play Games or something like that. It's just very, achievements. Yay. It's like, don't really care. I hope it's cool, But I my level of expectation is around Ouya level.
Well, I mean, one of the theories running around out there is that Google might be starting their own types of game service, which, tying into the beginning, you know, segment of our show, might not be such a bad idea. It just depends on the quality of games. Like, if Google streaming games is like Farmville and Match 3 Tournament and Solitaire, I don't know if it's going to be very compelling. But if Google can sign up some partners of some big games that people want to play, it might be a little more impressive. But, of course, you know, bandwidth is always a concern with the streaming stuff. We didn't really get into that earlier, but a comment in our chat. Pixel Paca says the project stream thing worked surprisingly well. If everyone had no data caps and high-speed internet, then it would be a massive game changer. And Bobby Blackwell follows that up saying bandwidth caps are going to be a big issue and not many people talk about it. Well, until we push back on the cable companies for what we want and get those data caps inflated.
I think eventually, once we get, you know, some democratic leadership, that we'll get them outlawing data caps and that kind of stuff. It's just, but unfortunately, we just have like the whole...
I don't even know if it has to be a political thing. I think the political thing has to fix that whole issue with the net neutrality, but I digress. The whole, when it comes to the data caps, I think ultimately consumers are going to be like, this is bullshit because of all these things that are around the popular place. Like, you know, I remember when data caps were like a lot smaller, especially on cell phones, right? Because they're like,
right,
nobody uses over 2 gigs in a month. Nobody uses 2 gigs in a month. And that was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Now it's like, nobody uses more than 10 gigs in a month. And of course, when I went and checked my usage on AT&T, I use 18 gigs in a month. So thankfully, I have unlimited.
That's
I use a lot, but... Dude, Spotify and podcasts in the car, Ingress and Pokemon Go a lot, which is always downloading data, right? You know, listening to music if I'm in my desk at work and streaming from there. You know, you use a lot of data.
I don't know. I'm always usually on Wi-Fi, so I don't tend to use that.
I don't. My Wi-Fi at work is non-existent. I have to be on cellular. So, yeah. But I pay for it. You sold me an unlimited plan. I'm going to cash in. Okay. I'm not pirating or anything. I'm just, you know, a heavy user. So anyway, well, could Google, you know, I brought up cell phones. Google's in the cell phone arena. Do you think they might do something with, like, I don't know, something where it's like, oh, it's on your computer and it's on your phone through the new, you know, Galaxy?
Probably. I think if anything, they're going to do something integrated into Chrome. So, yeah, I could see them doing that. I don't know. I'd just be curious to see. I didn't actually get to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey when they had that in Chrome, so I don't know what the hardware requirements are for that type of stuff. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. It has to have something that I'm really interested in. And just a lot of these, like, platforms that they come out with, it's just kind of like, I don't really need another platform to play, like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey on, or, you know, whatever else is going to be on there. Like, I have a huge Steam library. Give me something that I really want that makes it, you know, really accessible for me to play. Like, I, for example, would love Xbox Game Pass if I could play my Xbox 360 backwards compatible games on the PC. It would be pretty awesome.
You kind of can, because you use the whole, like, you go into the Xbox app and you stream from your Xbox One to your PC. I've done that. I played, like, Dungeon Siege 3 on my PC.
I've tried.
But it's you're really playing it on the Xbox One and streaming.
I've tried doing that with my PlayStation 4. Although I haven't tried with the Pro yet, though. So that might work a little bit better with the Pro. But before my original PlayStation 4, I tried doing that. And it was mixed from just kind of, like, okay and working to it's just not working at all on my internal network. And, I mean, my PlayStation's wired directly to the router, and... I mean, I don't think there was that much bandwidth traffic going on. There's Netflix. But, I mean, that shouldn't be clogging up my, you know, network that much. But who knows?
I think bandwidth caps are going to go up again in a couple of years. I would hope more providers are able to provide internet when that element gets more competitive, which it very well might, as over-the-air speeds and 5G and stuff. I mean, 5G is supposedly really, really fast. I haven't been able to use it myself yet, but 5G is supposedly, like,
so
really stinking fast.
For fucking Verizon to get out of Sacramento to do it.
So it's, well... You mean out into the suburbs of Sacramento? Apparently,
yes.
It's downtown. Yes.
Yeah.
But but as that stuff becomes more and more, maybe I think that's when finally there's going to be more competition for companies like Comcast and your more traditional broadband providers. Is when it's so fast in the air that it competes with that, and then that's when all that discussion on data caps and stuff will have to be reevaluated, I suppose.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Anyway, going into our chat at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, Bobby points out, Loki, it depends on your router. Some routers can't handle multiple streams like that, and others can. So if someone else is streaming Netflix and you're trying to do share play between a PS4 and PC, some routers don't have the CPU to be able to accurately handle that. That is very true. When I am streaming from the Xbox One, it's like, don't try to do anything else on the internet.
Oh, I thought I had a pretty decent router, but I can always get one with more antennas on it. It doesn't look gamer enough yet.
Yeah, it doesn't look gamer enough. And then DJ Rama S in chat says, looks at Verizon router. Bandwidth caps, what's that? So, yeah, there you go. All right, anyhow, let's move on to another story. And I know a lot of people are talking about this week. I'm sure you guys have heard of this. But it was announced by Reggie Fils-Aimé on a special announcement on their Twitter channel and YouTube and all that, that Reggie Fils-Aimé plans to retire. Reggie Fils-Aimé has been with Nintendo for 15 years, if you can believe it. And he is going to be retiring. And the current senior vice president of sales and marketing, Doug Bowser, will succeed Reggie as the president of Nintendo of America. I'm sure you have heard the whole Bowser taking over Nintendo memes to death. So I will only bug you with that one time. Although, you know, it's kind of one of those, oh, that's cute. But, you know, it is an actual like German last name and stuff. So, you know, it's not like, I don't think he was picked for his name. I think he was picked for his talents.
But he is leaning into it, though.
Well, he has fun. Sure. And I think when you're in a situation like that, you should have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like when Doug Bowser was first hired, there was that picture of him on Twitter. And he's like, I'm happy to be here. He's like holding a sign. If you look very subtly, it's very subtle in the background. But there's stuffed animals or like whatever you call it, stuffed figures, stuffed plushes of Mario and Luigi tied up with a GameCube controller. That's funny. I love that like subtleness where it's like you look twice. You got to look a little deeper to see that. So, and I'm sure in a Nintendo Direct or something, there'll be something very tongue in cheek. But let's not forget, Nintendo is still very much a Japanese country. You know what I mean?
Company.
Thank you. It's still very much a Japanese company, and all the big decisions are being made in Japan. And what, you know, Reggie Fils-Aimé has been doing, very charismatic, great leader for the U.S. and helping to get Switch systems sold in the U.S. That is what Reggie Fils-Aimé's job has been, and that's what Doug Bowser will be doing. Of course, the folks over in Japan, happy to see him go. Shuntaro Furukawa, who is the current president of Nintendo, said, I really appreciate everything Reggie has done for Nintendo. Inside and outside our company, Reggie is known as an exceptional leader. We are grateful that he is leaving the business in good shape with strong momentum. While we will miss him and we wish him the very best in his retirement, we are also pleased to have such an able successor ready to step into that role. And then Reggie, in his own comments, said, quote, Nintendo owns a part of my heart forever. It's a part that is filled with gratitude for the incredibly talented people I've worked with, for the opportunity to represent such a wonderful brand, and most of all, to feel like a member of the world's most positive and enduring gamer community. As I look forward to departing in both good health and good humor, this is not game over for me, but instead leveling up to more time with my wife, family, and friends. And you know, he's going out at the top of his game. You know, it might be a little different story if this was during some of the Wii U years. I don't think it really would be that different because Reggie Fils-Aimé has always really kind of been very liked as, I think, a charismatic leader by gamers and so forth. So I think no matter when he decided he was ready to move on, he would have gotten a warm reception. But certainly, you know, if he does decide he wants to do more in the future, he's going out on the top of his game, and this is a great thing, you know, in his resume that, you know, I left when the Switch was an all-time success. Keep in mind, Reggie Fils-Aimé has not always been games. Before he was at Nintendo, I believe he was at Panda Express. I don't know if that was the immediate thing, but it was certainly at some point before there. He was a
I think he was at Panda Express. Was it Pepsi or Yum Foods or I don't know.
Perhaps. I don't know. I just remember the Panda. But anyway, I mean, you know, and everybody's like, I wonder why he's leaving. And there's a part of me that says, how many of you have stayed at jobs for 15 years? He's been there for 15 years. I've gotten close. I was at my last job for 14 years.
I was 14 and a half at my last
job. Yeah, gotten close. But, you know, even then, it was like about the time where you're like, all right, I really, like, you know, the signs are in the air. And it was one of those things where I was like, I really need to go do something else. And so I did. And, you know, for whatever reason, like, I doubt it's anything negative at all. You know, Reggie, maybe he wants to do something that's not video games. You know, even you can be a gaming fan and like things that aren't video games, right?
Yeah.
Like, I do this gaming podcast, but I do hosting for, you know, performance shows and things like that. So, you know, it's gaming doesn't have to be your end all be all. So maybe he'll want to start his own company, or maybe he'll want to go to a different industry or something. Or maybe he really just, you know, I know he has kids. I don't know how old they are. Maybe the kids are old enough to be having their own kids and he wants to be around for that. Or maybe he just wants to be around more. You know what? Let the man take a fucking vacation. He's earned it. Hats off to you, sir.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, we all know, oh, yeah, this has to be something that happens someday. But then when that day arrives, it's like, but why, Reggie? Don't you love me anymore? But, you know,
his body is ready for vacation.
His body is ready for a fucking vacation. That is absolutely right. Let the man live. So, yeah, we can just hope he set a great example for everybody. You know, because not every CEO in the game industry is looked at with such favor and fandom as somebody like Reggie Fils-Aimé. Because can you imagine what it's going to be like when Bobby Kotick retires?
Yeah, it's going to be great. He's never going to retire, though, because he's making tons of fucking money.
So, anyway.
He has to drive the rest of the properties into the ground, which, honestly, with Activision, there's not a lot left.
DJ Rama S. points out Pepsi and BET. SS200 Matt says he worked for Pizza Hut and Guinness. Did he really work all those places? Are you guys just saying all the cool things
Pizza
out
Hut
there?
Is PepsiCo and Yum Foods or whatever.
Okay, so that's all like one. Okay, yeah, that's right. Pepsi owns all that stuff. That makes sense. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right, well, hats off to you, Reggie, and best of luck in the future. And, you know, other CEOs should take some cues from Reggie on how to be cool, super cool. Let's move on. What do you have for us next, Logie?
All right, so there's this whole new kind of beginning of another adpocalypse type thing. This was due to this guy named Matt Watson, who put out a viral video on YouTube basically explaining that there's this content out there. It's of, like, kids like posting videos either of like you know, doing like gymnastics or something like that, and of course with that there's these kind of pedo people that are watching these videos and time stamping, you know, compromising positions and just being generally assholes. And then of course those people also re-uploading this content and sharing similar content with each other. So he's kind of like, oh, exposing this, you know, whole ring of stuff going on. And of course, you know, he's been also mailing out to or, you know, going on social media to show all these people that had like ads run in front of it that, hey, look at this content's on here and YouTube's not doing anything, even though they are sort of work, you know, to get rid of it and doing it in the worst possible way as well.
I gotta admit it's a tricky thing because, like, well, and I have not been reading up on the story, but, like, you know, if you want to put your kid's gymnastic match on YouTube,
right,
you should be able to do that.
Yeah, right. And
for any sane person, that
well,
would
here's
just
the
be,
problem.
You know,
so here's the YouTube solution, by the way, you're gonna love this. So YouTube solution to solve this problem, because they can't really figure it out, is your video now can be demonetized. You could be following all of the rules completely by the book. Everything is a-okay with your video, but if you have asshats that are posting sicko shit in your YouTube comments, your video is going to get demonetized. No, that can't be abused in any sort of fucking way.
What's happening to the sickos posting the comments?
Well, they're going to try to ban them, but at the same time, they could recreate accounts and stuff. I mean, so I don't know. You could basically use this new method now to just attack any channel you want to demonetize all their videos, or to possibly, you know, do all sorts of strikes or whatever. So that's that fun bit of information. So that's their plan right now, which is terrible. And then on top of that, all sorts of advertisers are pulling their ads from YouTube because of that.
I swear, if you are one of these, not that any of those people would ever be watching this, and thank God, but for those people that are doing this type of just sick shit, and you know some of them are doing it because it's sick and they're sick. Some of them are doing it for the lulz. That isn't fucking funny, and you deserve to have your computer thwapped into submission with a baseball bat over and over again if you are participating in this garbage. This is just, it's gross.
It's kind of, okay, so let's talk.
Weaponizing it to get at people and stuff is gross. Yeah, how does it have to do with games, by the way?
Well, we're getting there. Okay, so, okay, like, there's been several
I'm
companies.
Mad at something that has nothing to do with games yet.
So, several companies have already pulled their ads from YouTube, including, like, Disney. One of them, of course, Epic Games, have pulled their ads, and those, of course, are mostly ads for Fortnite. And so they have pulled it because they're in talks right now with YouTube to see if they can – what's YouTube doing to fix this algorithm problem that they have with – basically, if you do find these videos and you click on a couple of them, that's all you get in your feed is these, like, videos. It makes it very easy for somebody to find that content. So right now they're trying to figure out what they can do. They've banned – YouTube's banned channels. They've, you know – demonetize other channels, reported some things to the police. They said,
I have an idea. I have an idea. I know how to fix it. I know how to fix it. Ready? Ready? Delete the comments. Done. Problem solved. Delete the comments, YouTube. Delete them. We don't know. What good are YouTube comments doing? I'll wait.
It is showing, I guess, what was it? It's showing, what they call it? I don't remember what it's called. It's showing how many viewers are actually interacting with the content creators on there, and it's for a way to monetize or basically show that this person is getting more, like, I guess, focused views on their content or
view. Thumbs up button would be fine. Subscriptions are fine. A system like Biddy's where you could tip your favorite people would be fine. All of that would be fine. Why do we need comments? We don't need comments. Delete them.
Or better yet, just like if you have a way to see which comments are like bad, why don't you just delete those comments?
Let content creators screen all their comments before they go up. Is that a thing YouTube can do?
I'm pretty sure you can maybe.
Can you?
I don't know if
any
you
YouTube
can,
creators
you can disable
out there know?
Stuff.
Can you just make it moderate? Everything's moderated.
I don't know, but whatever. It's going to be worse before it gets better. The ironic part about this, though, is the guy who actually posted this.
Wait, I got to read this comment.
Yeah.
Miltonius Games in chat says, comments are profitable to YouTube. They will also punish channels for it. Well, that just goes to show YouTube would far punish the creators than publish the people actually causing the problem. Bobby in chat says, why do we need a chat room for this show? Great question, but I because I love having the live chat and the interaction with people and so forth, but I will not hesitate for a moment to ban your ass if you cross the line. Hell, I just gave someone a timeout for pulling the Smash Mouth stun on me. So you know what? I will rain down with fire upon you a great vengeance if, you know, you bring that garbage here. But I'd like to give most people the benefit of the doubt. But we have a lot of control over moderation. And if I'm not looking, Bobby Banhammer Blackwolf's looking, and he won't hesitate to ban that stuff. And there's several other mods in there as well.
Well, the thing is, too, okay, so, like, this is kind of the ironic part of it. So this Matt Watson guy, he's basically going out and pointing out this thing, thinking that he's doing some good. But I think it's actually for... He's trying to get his 15 minutes of fame. He was an ex YouTuber. He had it, so he started a new channel, posted this stuff. People found his old channel, and he has questionable shit on there, including I don't know if it's a skit or something, but it's basically him. I don't know, doing it for the lulz, asking people if they would like to be in an adult video with him. And there's one shows him driving in a car, talking to a school-aged child, saying, hey, you want to be in an adult video with me? Just ridiculous stuff. So this is the fun stuff that we get to deal with.
Delete YouTube! Just delete it! Delete YouTube!
Yes, that is one way to do it. Burn it with fire. I just think the whole thing is, between this and, like, you know, even earlier this week we had a thing with The Verge where, you know, they were content striking people because they didn't like what someone was saying in a video like that. You know, between the abuses that are with the DMCA service, between now the way that people can, you know, harass or even destroy YouTube channels with harassing comments, because I know we have certain listeners, Extifer, for example, posting constantly on Twitter about all these hateful comments he gets on his videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that kind of stuff right there, that would demonetize his channel even if he's not doing anything wrong because of all the hateful comments that are, it's like, it's just the whole platform is messed up.
So, sorry, but important. I'm doing my finger wag because I have something important to say. Okay, ready? Okay. Didn't we just have a story? Well, hold on. I got to check. Hold on. We got to go. We need to scroll up one. We got to scroll up. Did I not hit the button enough? Okay. Do we not just have a story? Google is about to be at GDC, right? We did just talk about that, right?
Yes.
Google owns YouTube, right?
Well, right? Yeah.
So is anybody going to be asking Google, like, if you can't run a functioning video website and moderate your shit, why were you going to trust you with a gaming console?
I mean, what's it going to happen? If they're going to have a storefront that they're not going to monitor, what? Then you're going to be Steam? So, I don't know. Anyways, so let's talk a little bit more about Fortnite, though, instead of YouTube. We'll switch topics here a little bit. So Fortnite had this they had this event called Fortnite Live.
Wait, sorry. I just want to read, because when there are good comments, I read them on air. That's another way you reinforce positivity, right?
Right.
You read the good stuff on air. Not to say that everything I don't read is bad, but just, you know, reinforcing the good stuff. So KArts1 in our chat says, YouTube needs to put more pressure on creators to maintain a healthy comment community. It's so easy to set word filters and appoint other viewers to update said word filter, delete toxic comments. So yeah, I think there has to be some type of onus on the content creators to foster a positive community. However, as you pointed out, the way things are working at YouTube right now, like, YouTube is also like blaming the content creators
it's also the, like, I don't know if they can really control it, because some of these they're posting, like, say for example, the one example they had is that their kid was they're posting videos of his gymnastics stuff online, which is fine. You know, you can post videos of your kids online doing gymnastics, whatever, that should be fine. But then people were making comments on that stuff, and that's not, I mean, that's bad enough. But then other times they were finding, when they dug into the comments, you know, like looking at these users and where they're commenting and stuff like that, they found that they're taking these videos, downloading them, re-uploading them on their own channels, and like talking about that shit elsewhere. So you're not even getting to the point where they can even monitor the comments that are on that video, because it's being re-uploaded and
commented on. Mom and dad who shot that video should be able to sue those other, but not that I'm all for like a sue happy America, but there ought to be some type of way you can go after that troll that steals that video. And of course, I guess, I don't know. I know. And now as I'm thinking through it in my head, they're going to be like, it's parody. It was done for parody, and you put it on the internet. No. I don't know. It's complicated, I guess. But just people need to fucking behave themselves online. It's so gross. Anyway.
So
more Fortnite.
Yeah, so we're talking about Fortnite Live, which was an event that they held in Norwich. They were advertising it as the ultimate Fortnite Battle Royale. Apparently, that they were selling tickets for between 12 and 20 pounds, and they had just about 3,000 kids show up. But apparently, there was a lot of like misorganization. They described it as basically saying it was a terrible disaster. It was terrible, an absolute disaster, not like advertised. We went for the early bird, but some stuff wasn't even set up. The best part about it was the event was the burger I had. My son wanted to leave. And as an organizer was saying, it went well. It was an absolute joke. It was awful. I have a very disappointed child. And they're saying that there was some sort of like merch that was just...
So it was the Fire Festival of Fortnite.
Yeah, it was garbage.
The Fire Festival of Fortnite.
Garbage.
Did nobody learn anything from those documentaries?
And basically, because it was garbage, and because they were using the Fortnite name, Epic doesn't want to be at all, you know, associated with it. So they, of course, are going to be, you know, suing the organizers of this event. They said, the quality of our player experience is incredibly important to us, and whether it's inside the game or an official public event like Fortnite Pro-Am. It says Epic Games was not in any way associated with the event that took place in Norwich, and we've issued a claim against the organization in the High Court of London. The proceedings by Epic Games, this is regarding their response.
Very important question about the convention from our chat, comment of the night here, from Crystal Skies 80. Did it have a ball pit?
I don't think it had a ball pit. Sorry.
Well, no wonder you got your ass in court.
Extra time in the ball pit. they're saying, you know, so Epic Games, you know, that has forced the shutdown of two pre-booked future Fortnite live events. These proceedings by Epic Games has had a catastrophic impact on the company's ability to trade, which has forced exciting events limited to cease all trading activities immediately. And now they're seeking to limit the losses to third parties as soon as possible. Well, boohoo. Maybe you don't use someone else's intellectual property for a shitty-ass event.
Yeah, I think Epic is kind of in the right here to, you know, say, hey, don't put your name. I mean, it's one thing if you're like a gaming celebration festival and just heavily feature Fortnite.
We get some of those like around here, too. There's like not a Minecon event, but it's like a Minecraft event, and it's just kind of put together by other people. They also do like some like Lego events and stuff like that that's not officially Lego.
Yeah, but I don't think any of those events are this bad.
No, and it's... It's.
I think I knew people.
It's also smaller.
I think
scale.
I know people that went to the Minecraft one that had a good time actually. So yeah. A little different.
So, but this is a little bit different with Fortnite and stuff.
Yeah. All right. Ooh, okay. I need to cleanse the palate after some of those stories we just talked about because it was a little bit upsetting. So, how about some rumors? How about we get into some rumors about? Look, here's the thing. I know how y'all feel about rumors. Some of you hate them, but this is also a show to talk about what people are talking about around the table this week in gaming. And this is on fire on social media is this rumor. And it has to do with a rumor about regular meetings being held between Nintendo and the Xbox team, which could culminate with Ori and the Blind Forest, as well as the sequel, The Wisping Woods, or whatever that the one's called. Sorry, I forgot the sequel in the moment. Cuphead, Game Pass, and xCloud coming to the Nintendo Switch later in the year. This is coming from a large gaming website in France, which is talking about all these leaks
but what
from
would Game Pass
Xbox.
Entail, though? Like, I don't understand if they're not going to have any games on the platform, what would that entail?
If it's streaming, if you're streaming the games through...
Do you stream with Game Pass, or is it all downloads with Game Pass?
There's two different systems on Microsoft. One of them is the streaming, one of them is the download on demand. So... With the streaming one, I thought
that was all Game Pass.
I'm probably butchering this all right now. Well, you know what? Let's figure it out. Can't you Google it? Google it while I read this story. You answer your own damn question.
I don't want to answer my own damn.
Okay. Well, I know we butchered it on a show before, and we got an email about it. So I feel some type of onus to get it right this time. So anyway, apparently the rumor goes on. There were several meetings in Redmond regarding the partnership, Ori and the Blind Forest, and Cuphead coming to the Switch. Which, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? More than 100 Xbox games via Game Pass and or xCloud before the end of the year. So I guess there's two things going on there.
Yeah, you download the games.
Okay. Well, maybe it wouldn't be like all the games, but maybe like Xbox 360 games. If they already kind of like built this emulator thing, maybe that would work. I don't know. Rare games possibly coming to the Switch, and so on and so on. You get where this is going. And going to chat over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. Let's see. Miltonius Games says the Xbox app on Switch is making much more sense. She-Hulk says streaming is not up and running yet. So that must be what this xCloud thing is all about. And so it would make a lot of sense that that would be the thing that would exist on the Nintendo Switch. And maybe some people, like we're doing, are calling that Game Pass because they just assume it's kind of like the same
thing. So is the xCloud thing where I play like, I can stream to my system.
I believe
from
that's
my Xbox.
What that is for, right? No, like stream any game like on the internet.
Oh, okay.
And the Switch does this with things like Assassin's Creed Odyssey and the Resident Evil 7,
yeah.
I think, right?
In Japan.
This wasn't Xbox related, but it was Japan had that Switch where it was all based on streaming. So maybe Microsoft saw that and was kind of like, hey, you know, and there's a lot about this that just like, I mean, it's a lot of fan wank, but it's also like, damn, this would be a good partnership. I mean, there's been fan wank for years about Nintendo and Microsoft getting in bed together. But part of what makes this.
Can you imagine if we go one way? Can we go the other way? They get some Nintendo games on Xbox One.
Who knows? Who knows? But
I would sell me an Xbox One.
I will say this. There are some things that make sense about it, because as you see that Microsoft is trying to push themselves beyond just a company you think about with game hardware and Xbox and so forth. We've even talked about this on a show just a couple weeks ago, where there were some comments about how Microsoft's really trying to just grow into the whole, like, gaming system, gaming ecosystem, where, yeah, you know, you've got this cloud and Microsoft wants to be Netflix for games. Again, going into what we just talked about at the very beginning of the show, Microsoft kind of sees this coming and they want to be Netflix for games. And what better person to team up with than the person that can't seem to figure out online? And say, we'll deliver it all to you. And you know what? We're not going to be putting out a handheld. And that's probably part of their agreement or whatever, is that Xbox would not put out a handheld ever. And that is, you know, something that, you know, maybe is on the table. I don't know. Or this is just all fan wank that culminates in nothing. But damn, would this be like an industry-changing thing, especially with E3 being this year. Think about who's not at E3 this year. And who are the big gaming companies that will be at E3 this year?
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
I mean, they would be able to dominate the conversation. They would be the entirety of the conversation if this happened. It would be it would really be something else. Microsoft has struggled to get an audience in Japan for a long time. I mean, and so you might be looking at, like, well, who's going to buy Ori and the Blind Forest and Cuphead at this point? Those games are years old. Japan. I bet there would be a big audience that would like to check out Cuphead.
Or if they can port it to the Switch, you know, that would be awesome. Although I'm surprised, though, the Cuphead's not really an Xbox game. That's just it's a PC title.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would think that that would be independent of Microsoft.
VG Realness says, I would absolutely would love for Microsoft to take over Nintendo's online, but I just can't see the Japanese arm getting in bed with the U.S. company. And I don't either. And I don't necessarily, you know... A lot of that I said before is mostly for hyperbole, because I think what it really comes down to, it's going to be more like a strategic partnership. Think about how Minecraft is on the Switch right now. That's a Microsoft thing that they're putting on the Switch, and the Switch is able to use that as well. Nintendo can kind of use Microsoft as a way to sell more Switches, because, hey, we can do Minecraft on the go. That is a strategic partnership. I don't see in this scenario Microsoft taking over Nintendo or Nintendo taking over Microsoft or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a strategic partnership where now Microsoft can kind of get some of their games, especially in front of a Japanese audience. And then on the flip side, you know, Nintendo has ways to say, now we have all these new libraries of games that are accessible and playable that are on the Switch. But I don't think it goes to Nintendo making games for Xbox. That's too far, because Nintendo is still in the habit of, we need to sell consoles, we need to sell this hardware, and the best way we do it is through our own titles that, you know, we are one of the best gamers
right.
in the business.
But think about it, though. Like, you could still do that and, like, just offer your titles for sale, if you know, because they don't ever drop in price, for sale through, like, a download service on, you know, like a Nintendo eShop app on the Xbox One or something like that, where you can download stuff. It would still be, like, through the Nintendo store, and you're just playing it, stream it to that console or something. I don't know. I just don't see why they couldn't go both ways. But who cares? I'd be even fine with just Game Pass being on the Switch.
And so the rumors don't stop there. Because Game Informer senior editor Imran Khan, I hope I said the name right, sorry, chimed in as well with this on a podcast that he's a part of. Oh, those podcasts, breaking news. He said, there's a game that's thought to be dead that Nintendo's reviving, and it's not one that people would expect. It was very much a title that was dead and buried, very officially canceled. I've heard enough about this game that he's almost sure that it exists again. And some people connecting the dots believe that that game is Scalebound.
Yeah.
Don't know. But then right along with that, I believe there was a rumor that kind of follows that up to say, probably not. It might not actually be that that's what's going on. So, you know, take that with a big grain of salt. But it's sure interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know about Scalebound. It was all right looking.
Scalebound too. If I remember right, Scalebound they originally conceived for the Wii. So, you know, hey, Nintendo.
I thought it was the Xbox 360.
No, it was originally conceived for the Wii, and then Microsoft, you know, through that whole partnership, kind of worked with Platinum Games to bring it over there, and then it didn't work out for whatever reason. So it would be very interesting if it does get a life. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of that is kind of like fanboy dreams, but, you know, Nintendo bringing back a franchise thought dead is not exactly unheard of, Bayonetta. So, except Bayonetta happened kind of like a lot faster. But, you know, again, have we yet to see Bayonetta 2 show up on any other console? Nope, not going to happen because Nintendo saved it. So, anyway, we'll see. E3 could be very interesting this year. Obviously, it's rumors, huge grain of salt, but boy, is it fun to think about the possibilities, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, sure thing. Over in our Twitch chat room at VOG Network, She-Hulk thinks that Microsoft will give Nintendo a piece of the sales. VG Realness chimes in, Nintendo will never put their games on another console. And I believe that just as heavy as it's written in the chat. Nintendo is that Nintendo would be dead or selling to somebody else before that happens. And yeah, they're not hurting right now.
I wouldn't say never, though, because we probably one time we thought,
okay, in 20
Sonic will never appear on a Nintendo console.
But we're talking like 20 years. We're talking like an entirely different industry than one we're in now. One where Nintendo has flopped so hard it ruined them, and not even the Wii U did that. So I just don't see it happening anytime soon, that's for sure. Interesting. Miltonius Games says everybody and nobody wants Scalebound on their console, apparently. Well, you know, as long as the game is good, bring it on. You know, and I'm all for a variety of experiences on the Switch. You know, Nintendo has their wheelhouse very well covered. Nintendo makes Nintendo games very well. But if they can get other types of games, hardcore games, if you will, and so forth, on their platform, it stands to do even better. Shit, look at Fortnite, right? Fortnite was not always the type of game you'd expect to see on a Nintendo console, but where is something like Fortnite thriving? Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
This is why everybody's like, Apex Legends on Switch, when? Which, by the way, Apex Legends has some really low graphic settings in it, so I'm kind of... It doesn't seem like the hardware would be the issue with bringing something like that to the Switch, but what do I know? I'm just some dude with a podcast. Anyway. All right, let's move on. We have a few more stories before we get to the classic game of the week.
So Dreams is going to have a special creator early access version of the game that's going to be coming out this spring for $30. And it says it'll be a strictly limited release. It's basically going to allow you to kind of get a full set of the creative tools along with tutorials, arcade games, and whatnot. And then they'll be adding more features, tutorials, arcade levels, and assets as stuff goes along and prioritize all the awesome stuff that they're doing there. They said the most important...
I might do it.
I probably will do it.
For $30 for like... I'll probably do it. I will. Because, like, all the things that people are creating with this is crazy. And I just want to get in there and explore. Like, if I feel like this Dreams thing is not just, like, a game. It's
going to sneak up on you. Because, like, seriously, when they kept showing Dreams and, like, all the stuff that they're doing with it during these, like, presentations, I didn't really get it. But then you see what people are making with it, like, where they're recreating PT in Dreams. Or they're making a first-person shooter that looks pretty amazing in Dreams. I mean, it's going to be a pretty amazing thing once it comes out. But yeah, they said the most important thing is to know that the Dreamiverse is going to form around you so that if it gets you excited, early access is for you. If you participated in the beta and felt like Dreams wasn't fully featured enough for you yet, or you wanted more media molecule game content, then early access might not be for you. And then we're working on all those things during this period, and we have everything.
If you want to pay for a beta, then this is for you.
I'll do it for $30.
For $30, does it give you the full game as well, or is it $30 towards the full game or something? I hope that would at least be it. It's like you could upgrade this to a full copy of the game for.
I think
a lot
it
less.
Just eventually becomes a full copy of the game. I'm not. It doesn't really specify.
$30 seems really low for a game like this, unless they plan to like charge for the things people create in this game or something.
Yeah, it doesn't really specify that it's going to be upgraded to the full version, although if they're keep constantly adding stuff to it, maybe. I don't know. It'd still be worth checking it out, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, I already talked about the Scalebound thing. I kind of threw it in there with the other Nintendo and Microsoft rumors, so I don't think there's a lot else to say on these whispers about Nintendo possibly reviving a canceled game. But I guess let me turn this into a question for everybody out there in the chat or us here in studio. Outside of Scalebound, you know, and that, what would you like to see Nintendo possibly reinvent or reignite? What would you want Nintendo to do?
To reignite, I guess, an old Xbox game?
Anything, really.
Do a new Cameo or Perfect Dark.
Oh, Perfect Dark. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's like some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Cameo had potential, I think, but they didn't really do anything with it aside from kind of...
I don't know if people would get excited about a new Cameo.
No,
they might get excited
not.
About a new Perfect Dark.
Yeah, a new Perfect Dark would be cool.
Yeah, it would be very cool. Because I was going to say something like GoldenEye, although obviously...
We've already tried that.
I know. Yeah. It's already been
tried. Now it's Activision and, screwed
yeah,
that shit
it
up.
It didn't really work out so well, but I think a lot of people are very attached to that, for sure. Looking at chat over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network, VG Realness says Phantasy Star Online. Very good choice. Perfect Dark is a good choice. Perfect Dark Zero is trash. She-Hulk. Oh, I like this answer. Fable.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good answer. That is a really good answer because I think of that. There was that Fable game, the co-op thing that got canceled. Remember
yeah.
that? And that was very officially canceled. And maybe that is something that Nintendo could bring. Fable Legends, right? Maybe that's something Nintendo would...
Yeah, they were trying to do also that, like, weren't they also doing... I don't know if it was part of the Fable universe or not, but they were doing that, like, game-making thing as well
yeah.
that didn't really end up being anything.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to see that, but...
Frodo Swaggins wishes they would remake GoldenEye the proper way. The one they tried to remake was garbage. And DJ Rama S is just Conker. I think when we talk about, like, rare games coming out on Switch, that would... make a lot of sense if that happens. Again, I really think people are taking this tiny little like nugget of information and then like rolling it down a hill and turning it into a snowball. Let's take a wait and see approach.
Fusion Frenzy.
Let's take a, the first one was good. Let's take a wait and see approach and just, you know, go in with little expectations. Do not expect this at E3. Do not expect Microsoft to come out and say, we're going to be on the Switch. Do not expect Nintendo to announce in a Direct, we've revived Scalebound. Because for all we know, Nintendo's going to say, we're going to do Fusion Frenzy. And so you got to lower those expectations a little bit. So anyway.
Although right. Nintendo did Fusion Frenzy. They don't really need to do Fusion Frenzy because it's basically Mario Party. And
it kind of is, right?
Except Fusion Frenzy was crap.
All right. Let's take a step back to a simpler time and visit the classic game of the week and maybe something that needs to be reinvented at another time, another place. And so we take a step back through time and space and everything else that we can bend at our will to a journey to the classic game of the week. And joining us to share the classic game of the week is the one, the only, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am good. Yeah, I'm sad it's not a three-day weekend like last weekend, but, you know, I'll take it.
It wasn't a well, I guess it was a three-day weekend for me because I made it one.
There you go. Well, we look forward to having you back in studio next week full-time.
Very soon.
All right. Well, one more for the books for this tape stuff. So how about it? Let's talk about the classic game of the week. What did you pick as you ventured into the vault and found a game that you think everybody should be checking out this week? What is it?
I really wish this was in my vault. It's called Magical Poppin.
All right. Magical Poppin.
Mm-hmm. It came out in 1995. It only came out for the Super Famicom. And it was developed by Polestar and published by a company called Pac-In Video, which later I think joined. Hold on, I actually have the name of the company they become. They became Victor Entertainment and then became Victor Interactive Software. So as for Magical Poppin, this game is considered one of the rarest Super Famicom titles, and it goes for a lot of money, but also it has a very high piracy rate. and with people trying to sell repros. So just, you know, be careful. If you happen to find one, make sure it's legit. But this did release on March 10th, 1995. And it's a side-scrolling.
I was just going to say, if you do find one, put it in an envelope and mail it to Dark Sakura, care of OLR Studios.
Yes. It is a side-scrolling game. It has 6 stages total, but the stages are set up sort of maze-like and non-linear. You also have no password or save feature, so if you're going to finish it, you need to sit down and commit. But basically, you're playing as a princess who lives in a castle that has a magical gem, and the gem is stolen by an invading army. And so the princess, you know, not having any heroes and having a go-get-it personality, just does it herself. So the game was produced by Wada Yasuhiro, who also went on to work on Harvest Moon in 1995, and had artwork on the box drawn by Akai Takami. One thing about the voice acting in the game was done by a lady named Ijima Ai, who had also worked in adult video earlier on in her career. She's actually one of the few people who this never became a scandal for her. Also, sadly, she died of kidney failure and sepsis, I want to say in 2010, if I remember correctly. So she's since gone. She was a big TV personality for a while after her initial days. But at any rate, this game has never had a release outside of Japan and never had a release on any other console. It was reviewed by Famitsu for a 23 out of 40. It was compared to the Monster World series that it was sort of an old-fashioned kind of game. And that the game was really difficult because the character's attack was very low, although the character had great animation. And some people didn't even think that Ijima's voice was all that good because the sort of moe character, yet she has like a kind of corny voice. It was basically considered cute and challenging, and people were mad that you couldn't, you know, actually save in the game. The internet intellectual property of the game now belongs to Marvelous Entertainment, and it was listed in 2016 at 100,000 yen sold in the box, without 30,000 yen. A store in Tokyo in 2017 was selling it for 140,000 yen, which at the time was about $1,200. The highest successful bid was 80,000 yen for this game, so $800. Roughly. And so there you go, a game that I probably won't own a copy of anytime soon unless someone really loves it.
I was going to say, that's approaching levels of that Super Mario game we talked about last week that sold for $100,000. I mean, maybe not that high yet, but a mint condition, who knows?
Yeah, but this, good luck.
Yeah, this is the type of game, though, since you kept talking about how that you can't really save it or there's no passwords, this is the type of game that would definitely lend itself to how you leave the power on all night long and just pray that your parents don't come in or your sibling or whatever doesn't come in and shut it off in the middle of the night. And it's like, man, my game, man, you ruined it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, just to throw this out there, if anyone is not super familiar with Pac-In Video from before the day, they also published Lunar Lander, Minesweeper for Game Boy. They did Wangan Dead Heat games for Saturn. For Super Famicom, they did Atlas Renaissance Voyager, Magical Poppin, like I just said. They did Super Battle Tank 2, Super Solitaire, Harvest Moon. And then for TurboGrafx, for PC Engine, they did the Metal Angel game, Super Metal Crusher. They did Virtual Fishing for Virtual Boy, and they did a handful of MSX and MSX2 games. They also developed Burning Soldier for 3DO, Boundary Gate for PCFX, and then a few other really only Japanese-only games, except for Famicom. They did Die Hard and Knight Rider and Predator and Rambo.
Hmm. So some 80s movies tie-in.
Yeah, a few.
So how... Oh, go ahead.
You were saying... I just said that's it.
Awkward phone delay. I was just about to ask, like, you know, since this game is so rare and it's so difficult, how did you come across this for selection? Is this just because you kind of know the publisher? Or?
I just knew of the game. It's been kind of on my secret want list for a while. I mean, I had that want list of rare games for a while that have gotten a few things off of. And then a few that I found out, oh, I actually do already own this. You know, it was around the time I was learning about Panorama Cotton and, you know, Dracula X and some of those types of games.
All right. Very cool. Well, there it is. Your classic game of the week, Magical Poppin, a very, very rare Super Famicom game. And again, if you find a copy of that, you can just send it right to our studio.
Please do. I might even send you a taco.
Real quick before we go back to the show, I mean, I know, you know, it's that Sunday night. It's that time. It's award season. It's Oscar season. So is there anything? I mean, maybe you don't give a hoot. I know I'm kind of in that category. But is there anything you're rooting for tonight at the Oscars?
Two things. The tuxedo ball gown is epic.
And oh, Billy.
Second Oscar. Yeah.
Yeah, Billy Porter. Sorry. Just, yeah, amazing.
Yeah. And then secondly, I don't know. The only Oscar I care about lives in a trash can on Sesame Street.
And so I suppose we end this segment with, and that's why I love trash.
Yeah.
All right. Seriously,
he
though.
Was our Oscar was our first upcycler, remember?
That's right. Anyway, it shouldn't end with my final singing. What are your final words to the listeners tonight?
That's why I like trash, too.
I guess we're just big fans of trash here at Orange Lounge Radio. What can we say? Thank you, as always, Dark Saga. And we'll see you back in studio next week. Meanwhile, let's travel around and the internet and touch on a few more stories that we have not had time to talk about yet.
I was going to say, speaking of the Oscars, I was very pleased to see that Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse won Best Animated Film.
Oh, did it? Okay. Which, it was up against Wreck-It Ralph, too, right?
Yeah. I know. If you've seen Spider-Man, it was easily deserving of that. So I'm
a lot of people were fans of that.
And I know that...
I don't care about the Oscars. I don't care. I'm like, I realize I'm probably the only gay guy on the planet that's going to tell you that, but I don't care about the Oscars. I just don't.
I know.
Who cares what other people
think?
I
only cared about it when I worked in, you know, the movie industry. And
what does it matter about critics anyway? Look at what's going on with Anthem right now, which I've said my piece on Anthem, and I purposely wasn't going to get into this tonight because I haven't played the full game, so I really don't have anything to say. But I will point out, you know, it doesn't have a wonderful score on Metacritic. 61 is it's lower than what Mass Effect Andromeda had, right? But I've got plenty of people on social media and other places that are like, I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. Whatever, you know? And I've seen other people that are saying these loading times are garbage. The game's not even done yet and so forth. I'm not going to talk about it because I didn't play it. Y'all know why I didn't. We're done. But if people are enjoying it, it shouldn't stop them from enjoying
it. And same, it even goes with like Fallout 76. You know, if you're enjoying that game, more power to you. It's just, I'm surprised. You're one of the minority, I guess. Whatever.
VG Realness in chat says, ooh, bitch, you'll care if Star is Born wins or if Gaga wins Best Actress. I would only be excited if Star is Born won because that's more exposure for Willem and Shangela, who are in that movie. But I also completely understand why, like, Roma winning would be very... Was that what it's called?
Yeah.
Well, that movie, the Netflix... Because it's on Netflix... It's obviously, you know, it's a whole different kind of movie. I think
it'll be best foreign,
right? Well, that'll win best foreign for sure. You don't get anyway. You know, Black Panther wins. That's going to be huge because, you know, it's a Marvel movie that's winning best. But, you know, so whatever. Cool. Gaga won't win best actress though because Glenn Close. I think it's her time. And that's, you know, honestly, like, I love Lady Gaga. She's great. But, like, her not winning an Oscar is not going to diminish. And apparently she just won for the song. Of course, how is she not going to win for that song? Give me a break. But it's not going to diminish what an artist she is or how amazing she was in that movie, whether she does or doesn't take home a gold statue.
Yeah.
And Glenn Close is kind of perfect. Like, come on. Y'all saw 101 Dalmatians. It's kids. It's Glenn Close's time. It's fair. It's fair.
She should have won the Oscar for Cruella.
She got nominated for a Globe, if I remember right.
For Cruella?
Yeah, because the Globes will nominate anything. Let's move on. Why am I talking about award shows? What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm not doing anything. You're the one that went on that tangent.
Rapid fire news.
All right. So the Entitled Goose Game, better known as the Asshole Goose Game, it's been delayed. So it's going to come out later in 2019 instead of the spring. That's unfortunate. So you're going to have to wait a little longer to torture people as a goose.
But at least it won't lay an egg as a game.
Yes, hopefully. This was a game that I actually played the Game Jam version of. There was a proof of concept called Baba Is You. And it's kind of a puzzle game with, like, game logic in there. So they have, for example, you walk around, you can push things or, I think, pick up things. So, like, you can, you know, change, you know, oh, key is you or Baba is open or something like that. And you can change the logic in the game to solve puzzles. It's pretty clever.
That's a clever concept, using, like, logic gates and logic puzzles.
It's very interesting in how like you that. Solve some of the puzzles. But so they have it coming out now on PC, Mac, and Nintendo Switch March 13th. So that's actually going to be a full game pretty soon. So pretty awesome to see that's coming out there. And this one had me very excited because I loved this game when I first saw it back at SAC Indie Arcade. It is a local dev that's putting this out. It's a game called Black Future 88. And it's just this really cool cyberpunk 2D action roguelike shooter game. And it's going to be coming out on PC and Nintendo Switch as well pretty soon. So
we should reach out and try to get them on the show if they're here.
Yes. Yeah. It's very awesome. And it was awesome when I played it, and it looks even more awesome now.
Good for them.
Definitely going to be checking that out.
That's great. All right. Moving on to some stories that I have over here. Kunio-kun, that series, which is River City, like Ransom. It's those characters, yeah. Right? Dodgeball. They're going to be getting another game on PC, PlayStation 4, and Switch. And I guess it's, well, I mean, the Switch is region free, so yeah. You'll be able to play it anywhere. This is a new version of River City Melee Battle Royale Special. So the game is actually called Downtown Rantu Koshinkoyoku Mach. So that is, it's kind of like a reimagined version of that game from 2016, which is on the PC and PS4, which in turn was a new version of River City Super Sports Challenge All-Star Special for the PC and PlayStation 3, which, you know, again, the River City group, they were also in the Dodgeball games, which were insanely possible. Mm-hmm. So seeing them in the sports universe, not a completely crazy concept. It is also going to be an arena brawler concept, new items and modes, create a character. That'll be fun. Probably sometime this year. How about a battle royale mode? That's why not? 100 people in the ring. One lives. Why not?
A River City Ransom battle royale game.
Why not?
I love that.
That's where everything else is going. Let's do it. And this is getting a lot of eyes this week, is a trademark that Square Enix filed. The trademark that they filed in Europe and North America is called Collection of Mana. Just like something that they released in Japan, where they did not have to file said trademark because it's already out. And it was that, of course, collection for the Switch that contains Second Densetsu 1, 2, and 3. Which Second Densetsu 2 is, of course, out here as Secret of Mana. And Second Densetsu 3 is one of those infamous Super Nintendo games, never came out here, but I'm sure a lot of y'all played it through ROM hack translation patches anyway. So it would be very interesting. I mean, who knows? They might not include it. They might release it over here and not include that. It would just be the regular Secret of Mana and the Game Boy game or whatever. But maybe they will, and that would be pretty cool. Especially, you know, when Octopath Traveler did pretty well. Maybe Square Enix is probably looking to take more risks on the Switch. Mm-hmm. We'll see. That'd be great. Bob Coffee in chat says, hopefully we get Second 3 finally officially localized. I mean, that would be the best part. I mean, nothing against those translators who worked their ass off to make this happen, but to have the official version of that and Square, you know, it would feel really good to see that finally after all these years.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of things that are coming out a little sooner than Collection of Mana, which is a rumor anyway. But these are happening for sure.
Yes. So this week we've got Dirt Rally 2.0 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have Stellaris, the console edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We have the Lego Movie 2 video game on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Trials Rising on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Alien League on PC. Dead or Alive 6 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Swords and Soldiers 2, Shwarmageddon on the Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove on PC, Mac, Linux, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Interesting. I forgot they were bringing that back.
Yep.
That's pretty
it's
cool.
Back.
All right. Well, going over to Japan and looking at the releases over there, Dead or Alive 6 also coming out in Japan. It looks like it's a worldwide release day on March 1st, same day it hits the U.S. Just before that, on February 28th, we have some other releases in Japan. It's kind of a busy week, actually. A game called Nora to Oju to Noraneko Heart 2 comes out in regular as well as some limited edition. This game has the subtitle Nora, Princess, and Crying Cat. That is the game. And there's actually a little cat that's in the logo, like this little shadow
kitty.
But is
it crying?
I can't tell because it's kind of from far away, so I don't know. It just looks like, you know, it looks like another one of those animes turned into a video game type of things, but I don't think it's anything they'd ever release over here. But you had me at cat. Other games coming out in Japan, Left Alive, Wizard's Symphony, all on PlayStation 4, Shinsu no's Jushin Tante no Jikinbo comes out as well. Ride 3, also in Japan. Work, Cross Work, Forgotten Anne, and Trials Rising, also coming out in Japan. So very busy week. And that's just all on the PlayStation 4. On the Switch, Darius Cosmic Collection. Ooh, that's pretty cool. In a regular and special edition. That Nora to Oju to the Crying Cat thing, that's also on the Switch as well. As well as a game called Boku no Kanojo wa Ningyo Hime. Comes out there as well. And a Doraemon game. Doraemon Nobita no Getsumen Tansaki. And, oh my god, this is great. A game called My Girlfriend is a Mermaid. Well, bitch, she might be.
Like Splash all over again.
I'm going back to the Darius collection because that's pretty rad. Yeah. Darius 2. Sengaya, which was the Darius 2 overseas version. And Darius Gaiden. So, busy week. That's cool. That's your Japanese releases. How about Europe?
Europe has 8-Bit Invaders coming out on PlayStation 4, Dirt Rally 2.0 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Nier Automata Game of the Year, or Game of the Yora Edition, pun, that's on PlayStation 4. Trials Rising Gold on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Aces of the Luftwaffe Squadron Edition, that's on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Rad Rogers Radical Edition on Switch. Crash Dummy on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Dead or Alive 6 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The Lego Movie Video Game on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And let's see, Dark Souls Trilogy on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Every week we invite your emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we read your emails here live on the air. So again, that email address, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. First email tonight from our good pal YYR, who wants to chime in with his thoughts. So YYR starts us off tonight. Hello, LR. I was literally just listening to last week's show, and I wanted to address something you guys mentioned in Rapid Fire News. Microsoft Solitaire Collection. Yes, it's still included with Windows today. However, it's not quite free. It's free to play. I wish I was joking. The thing is filled with ads. If you want to remove the ads, you have to buy an in-app purchase in order to do that. You know, now that he's saying that, I do remember that. Like when I played so many levels, like to play another level, it was like, here's a crappy ad for something you'll never actually play. And yeah, you had to sit through that. So now I had blacked that out of my mind. Can you blame me on that? Anyway, if you want to remove the ads, you'll have to buy an in-app purchase in order to do that. But here's the real kick in the ass. The purchase is a subscription that costs $1.50 a month or $10 a year. And when the subscription expires, the ads come back.
Mm-hmm. Not worth it.
Now you got.
I'm deleting that off my system.
Now y'all got to make a choice.
You want, do I even have solitaire?
You want ad-free solitaire? Or you want Grindr Extra? What are you going to do? By the way, I checked the latest user reviews, and apparently the recent supposed improvements are controversial. Lots of folks recently left one-star reviews asking for the old version back. So I'll just say this. If you're feeling nostalgic and want to play Solitaire and Minesweeper on Windows, just copy the Windows 7 versions from someone who's still running Windows 7. Done deal. I'm sure they're out there on the
internet. I just uninstalled it. Take that, Microsoft. I will not play a crappy Solitaire game.
Before I go, I know that you were asking for streams or videos to run during the post-classic Game of the Week break. I could certainly contribute a few videos of my current and upcoming games, but I'm not usually about shameless self-promotion. What do you think? Have a great week. YYR.
I need to make some of those. You know what?
Yeah.
I do need to do
that. Here's
the
thing. I have an idea for how to fill it in. I will probably do a spotlight. But this is like the default when nothing else exists. I will probably spotlight a free game, meaning like in the Epic Store, they've been giving away those free games. Sometimes you get them on Steam, too, or itch.io. Of course, great indie place to display lots of free games.
Speaking of which, I was going to say Epic Game Store has Thimbleweed Park. Yeah. Have you played that yet?
I haven't, but I grabbed it. And so if we don't get anything for next week,
it is
you
a great
will probably
game.
See that. Yes. So here's the thing. But I would actually rather it not be me. You see enough of me on this program. So I would happily solicit somewhere between 7 to 10, no more than 12-minute segments to run during the break or during the in-studio break for us to rest our voices, use the potty, get water, things like that, you know, things that we do to keep a show going. Because a regular radio show would have full-length commercial breaks for people to do that. We don't have that. So I would like to welcome other Twitch contributors and Twitch streamers and game makers and game developers. You know, as long as it's not like just like a flat out commercial, but like especially YYR, you've been working with our show for forever. I think it'd be really cool if you kind of like had somebody who's a Twitch streamer show off like one of your games. Like that would be really cool. You know, because I'd like to spotlight some other indie creators here on Twitch. And that could even be like 10 minutes of your own podcast. I ain't worried about competition. Like, there's plenty of time of the day to listen to lots of stuff, and a lot of the stuff is on demand. So, anyway, if you'd like to contribute something like that, please get in touch with me. You can reach out on Twitter at Mr. Rob Roberts, or you can email me directly, rob@vognetwork.com, and I would be very interested in having those types of segments for the future. And you know what? If we get flooded with them, you know what? We could do something after OLR. We could play a segment after, because we kind of don't have a lot on Twitch afterwards. We could play something maybe even before, during Bobby showing us. So, like, I'm not worried about, like, getting swarmed with content. But I don't want, like, outright commercials. But when it comes to indie stuff, is it really a commercial? Because a lot of indie folks have a really hard time getting their word out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... And I also, of course, would open it up to chatters. What would you guys like to see in our breaks? Because, yeah, this is something that's going to start next week. So if we don't get anything, then it's going to be me playing Thimbleweed Park. That's what you're going to get for the break next week, like I did Tetris 99 last week. But if we do start getting things, then I'd rather play those. But I just want all our content creators who want to be on the break, remember, it's a podcast too. So keep that in the back of your mind. You can't just say, look at this, look at that, look at this. You have to talk us through. And remember, we have folks that are also like visually impaired who listen to the show and so forth. So we got to keep them in our minds as well. So SGO100 Matt says, I would love to do more videos, but my day job takes up so much of my day-to-day life. I have a few ideas, but they do take time for me. I wouldn't expect any one person to do this every single week. In fact, I think that's actually a bad idea. It would be great if there were like 10 people that did it on like a rotating thing. You know what I mean? So...
I'll find something to put together. Good. I have all this footage of me playing DDR that
Why
I can
not?
Put together.
Well, okay, here's the one caution with DDR. The problem is that licensed music.
Well, I just pick a non-licensed song.
Yeah, as long as you're picking Konami originals, it should be fine. I'm not as worried about getting muted with that stuff. So
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Miltonius Games in chat says, I'm going to start a Yellow Lounge radio podcast. Big bucks incoming. Actually, you want to hear a random side tangent true story? So when we first launched Horde House all those years ago, remember Horde House? It was the side show that I did with X-Fur and Shane. Originally, it was just X-Fur and I, but later we had Shane and Grandpa, and it was about World of Warcraft because we were like obsessed with it at the time. We played a lot of it. So we ended up naming that show Horde House because I solicited names online, and I was like, what would be a funny name for the show? And somebody submitted that, and I'm like, I love it. I love because like the double entendre, right? If you say Horde House over and over, it sounds like something else. I'll leave it at that, right? So we thought that was a funny name. In fact, actually, the full name was The Best Little Horde House in Azeroth. Like, if I'm beating you over the head with the reference. I think you all get it. But my thing was, if we don't get any names, I think we could just be like Warcraft Lounge Radio, right? We'll take, because it's kind of like a spinoff of Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be Warcraft Lounge Radio. Well, get this. We didn't go with that name. Not even like, it was like the same week Horde House started, or like the week before, the week after. It was like within the same month, a new podcast popped up called Warcraft Lounge Radio. I kid you not. And it had nothing to do with OLR, people I'd never heard of before, just other Warcraft fans doing their thing, making a podcast. Total fucking coincidence. But I kind of had to step back and I was like, that's really funny. That's really funny. Because I never said this on the show that I was thinking about doing a Warcraft thing, right? It's just that one of those funny fucking coincidences where somebody had the same idea. So anyway, but it all worked out great because some people came to OLR because of Horde House. I'm sad that that show isn't still on, but the reality is nobody had the passion for those types of games, you know, anymore. Kind of would like come and go and stuff. So, but everybody's doing some other type of content. Like X-Fur has a Twitch channel. Grandpa's still working with Starboard Power Coupling, which is, you know, if you're obsessed.com with Star Trek Discovery, as you should be, that's a great companion thing to be listening to. So check out Starboard Power Coupling. And then Shane, you know, he's not doing his Ranger Pride now, but I'm sure he'll think of something in the future. And he pops in on this show and my own streams and stuff. So you still see all those guys around making their own thing somewhere else. Yeah. So anyway, ooh, that was a big tangent. Let's see. Going to chat over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. SG100 Matt says, I would watch a video of Loki showing how he mods his DDR machine. Then again, that kind of promotes piracy. Yeah, you got to watch that stuff. Just remember, everything you do is being recorded, right?
Oh, how I mod it? I mean, I wish it was complicated, but all it really is literally just swapping out the drive for a DVD drive that's compatible with, and then popping a burned disk off the internet. Which is ironic because I'm still playing Extreme because all the other mods didn't work quite right, so I'm back to Extreme again. I'm running it off the mod disk because I'm too afraid to try to pop the original disk back in there because I may have to reinstall everything and.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, bring it back as a Phantasy Star Online Blueburst podcast. Hey, you tease, but I think that's also really good as a live stream kind of thing. And then Bob Coffey says, Disco is really great. Most Star Trek asked Star Trek in like 84 years. But nobody was saying that after the first season. Isn't that funny? It's almost like the first season was just like all a set. The first season was just a setup. That's all it was to get us to this point. And now like, engage, right? Now we're going. Anyway, and then, like I said, Beetlejuice three times. Shane showed up in chat. I'm not doing anything. You're right. But you're here. You're showing up here. You show up on my live stream. And you know, Shane, we should, like, do a show about, like, Pokemon. Wouldn't that be a lot of fun? Because I play a lot of Pokemon Go. We tried that. Didn't. Hey, but if shaking and crying can come back, anything's possible, right? Who knows? Maybe Shane will find a show he wants to do in the future.
Just sure do, like, the best little Pokestop and it's kind of combined.
Do you remember there was there was a Pokestop podcast? Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember there was a Pokestop podcast. That's what I'm saying. You mesh all the shows you don't really have enough passion for together and make one show. Just kind of combine the passion.
So just Katamari.
Yes.
Katamari, but game fandom. Yeah, some of that. All right, anyway. Look, we got to get to another email.
Fandamari.
Fandom. Oh, my God. That's a good name for a show. That's a good patent pending. All right. Our last and second email tonight from Dark Tetsuya, who is in our chat room, but he used an email to expand on his thoughts, which I appreciate, which is a Daemon Cross Machina. I don't know if I'm saying the name of that game right. The thoughts, the demo impressions. Remember, I didn't watch the direct. I was only able to get the play-by-play on Twitter, so I don't even know if I'm saying it right. But anyway.
It's Daemon X Machina.
That's it. Okay, so I was close. All right, hey, OLR. So with the release of the preview of Daemon X Machina, I checked it out as soon as it launched and spent the week trying to complete it, so I wanted to send my impressions of the demo. Right out of the gate, you can customize your avatar's appearance in his or her uniform color. Oh, that's more than Anthem will let you do. I said I wouldn't be shady. I'm sorry. All right. To make it whatever you want, as well as various customization options for your mech, different parts, weapons, and some internal upgrades, as well as, of course, customize his paint job as well and add decals. To put on your mech, looks like there will be a wide variety of parts.
And then you're thrown into your first tutorial mission to get a feel for the game. Controls are pretty simple. One button for each arm, and one, I believe, for secondary weapons like missiles. And you can also use jump jets to fly over everything or descend back onto the ground, as well as a dash maneuver to avoid enemies and gunfire. Lock-on is automatic, though the camera doesn't lock on to enemies. You have to track it yourself. But once you get the hang of the controls, it becomes second nature, and you'll be flying, dashing, and dodging enemies and returning fire with ease. The music is pretty cool with a very heavy metal-inspired soundtrack. Works pretty well in the background of giant robots blowing stuff up. The demo is pretty generous. You get the tutorial mission and three extra ones, culminating with a fight against a giant spider tank mech. Rad. This is definitely the toughest mission I've come across, so you might be at this one for a while. Overall, I was quite happy with what the developers came up with in this game. They've even sent out a survey to demo players to get their thoughts and anything they might want to change or improve. So I'm definitely looking forward to playing the final game. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate the little mini review, especially when I have not gotten around to playing it myself. But you did, and you weren't as glowing on
this. I got bored after the first mission. So maybe it gets better, but I just didn't care.
Do you think maybe you need to go back and just play a few more missions to see?
I just didn't want to. Like, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. I basically went to that because I got frustrated playing Tetris 99. Well, I wouldn't say I get frustrated. I just got bored with it. Because you can only play, you can probably play that for like a little bit, and then it's just like, I'm tired of playing Tetris, so I'll try this out. And then it just didn't really click with me, I guess. I mean, it doesn't mean it's a bad game. I just didn't really. It didn't draw me in.
Fortnite. Like, I've really tried with Fortnite, but it's just not. It doesn't click
for me. I haven't tried any of the Battle Royale games. I just don't really have an interest in them, but I know a lot of people play them. I think it'd be more fun like playing in a group of people.
Try Apex again. I especially on PlayStation 4. Where
is
the
it
voice...
easier to party up in Apex?
Well,
or...
you get thrown in matchmaking, and it just gives you two random people.
Oh,
and I suppose you're at the mercy of who you get.
You can't have a party of people.
Oh, sure, you can. Yeah, okay. You get bonuses too if you party with other people.
Okay,
so you can definitely do that. Hmm. So, yeah. Anyhow, let's see other comments in our chat. Dr. Tsuya says, "I know it's not for everyone, but I really got into it." Questbuster says, demo was fun, needed cyber legs, got cyber legs. Act Deft pointing out, as far as Battle Royales go, Tetris 99 is so good. That's a good Battle
That's
Royale.
Pretty good, yeah.
That's a good one to get your feet wet on. So I am here for more like of those types of like mega multiplayer games in different genres.
Dr. Mario 99?
Well, sure, we can do a couple more puzzle games, but how about in Super Mario Maker, 100 people take on the same level at once? With all these Shadow Marios bouncing everywhere. It would be hilarious. I don't know. Maybe, I think it would be fun. All right. Anyhow. Oh, Miltonius Games, from my heart, 1 versus 100. The original Battle Royale. Game Show Battle Royale. Of course. Mm-hmm. Maybe something Jackbox. Because we talked about this in the last show. I don't want to repeat myself too much. But Jackbox, you know, they build their games for lots and lots of people. But you sort of have to, like, invite people there. They don't matchmake people for those games, really. So, because, you know, it kind of would alter that party atmosphere. But I would love to see a Jackbox game with matchmaking. I think there's an audience for that. I think there's an audience for a game that you don't just play with your friends, you play with strangers. And oh my God, like patent pending, Jackbox. How about a game called, like, Talk to Strangers, or a game called Strangers with Candy? Well, maybe that would conflict with the TV show.
Stranger Danger.
Come on. There's an untapped well. Do we have anybody? Jackbox still listens to the show. There's an untapped well here of, like, games you play in matchmaking stuff, these mega games, but the whole joke is that it's people you don't know and how sick they can be. Stranger Danger. That's a great name for a Jackbox game. Oh, my God. I hope they're watching. All right.
Candy Van.
Candy Van. They need to do a whole Jackbox party packages, like Battle Royale type games, but game shows. I would so be here for
I don't know what their Battle Royale type game would be, but I'm totally down to see what it would be.
Just do another voting game, another voting on like what's funnier. But then I think what they're probably worried about is that if you let people enter in anything, it's always going to go to, you know, dicks, butts, boobs, right? Like, somebody's just going to put that in as their answer. You could put in, like, who is your favorite president? And somebody's going to put dicks, butts, boobs, right? It's going to be
ding. Yeah.
Ding. And then that answer is going to get, like, 40 votes. And then it's like, oh, I let my 7-year-old play your filth-ass game, and I'm a very upset parent because I didn't watch what my
kid was
doing.
That's why it's M-rated, so, you know.
Anyway. Well, I just seem to remember back in the day with Acrophobia, which is a very similar thing. I mean, I think that Berkeley Systems that made Acrophobia, like, a lot of those people are, like, Jackbox games now, right? like they had Acrophobia split into mature rooms where every acronym was like, you know, dicks, butts, fart, you know, pussy. Like, it's just like every acronym is just like every dirty word you can think of, right? But then there was the clean rooms, and their expectation was that in the clean rooms you play, you know, the not dirty stuff. And, you know, obviously the better experience obviously was in the clean rooms for the game.
Like, I still am hoping someday that they come up with a online version of Eat Poop You Cat, because that is just the best.
Yeah.
Miltonius Games suggests a new title, Strangers with Cookies. That's I like, it's a good, like, you know what you mean. Anyway, I feel like we should be charging one of our favorite gaming companies for a consultation right now. Anyway, at least a special thanks credit will be great. A little special thanks credit is all we ask. All right. Moving on. That was it for emails. Wow, we got onto quite a tangent with that email, but it was a good one. So anyway, let's get to some more news. Oh, I'm so happy to get back into the news, yay, but not with this story.
It's more layoffs.
Not with this. This is horrible.
So EA, they have, I guess, apparently laid off some people from their Australian studio. So apparently it was previously Iron Monkey and Fireman Studios, and now it's, I guess, EA Australia. They were known for making Real Racing 3, The Sims Free Play, and Need for Speed No Limits. And apparently they were also developing Real Racing 4, but I don't know if that's going to happen. They said that they haven't really talked about it. It's going to be close to, yeah, they had the number about 200 people at Fire Monkeys, and they're saying that they were going to be estimating that 80 to 100 people are going to be laid off. But apparently that's now dropped down to 40 to 50. But still, that's a pretty good chunk of their staff that's going to be laid off. And then they were saying the Fire Monkey Studio is working on some of the most popular mobile games. We recently made the decision to shift teams to focus on more of our live services and have entered into a consultation period that may impact some roles in the studio. We're working to match skills with opportunities as we go through this period, identifying other opportunities at EA and providing as much help to our employees as we possibly can. And then they decline to talk about Real Racing 4, whether it's canceled or not. But that sucks. And then, on top of that, outside of EA, apparently the ArenaNet is also going to be laying off people as well. There was an email that went out to employees from their CEO saying, our live games business revenue is declining as our franchises age, and delays in development on PC and mobile have created further drains against our revenue projects. While operating costs in the West have increased, we are not sustainable, and it's not going to set us up for future success. So they had to cut costs across the organization.
Well, that's obviously extremely disappointing, but at the same time, you know, I look at ArenaNet, they did Guild Wars 2, but that was how many years ago? And Guild Wars 2 doesn't charge a monthly fee.
Right.
So, I mean, I know there's been expansions and there's been other ways that they've been able to get money from the player base, but, I mean, I feel like the lifespan of a game like Guild Wars 2 probably is about up, and we haven't heard of, like, a Guild Wars 3 or anything. I mean, yeah. I don't know what other games ArenaNet even works on, which is probably part of the problem, unfortunately, is that, you know, I associate them with Guild Wars and not a lot else, and it's just, it's unfortunate.
I
wish they had something else they were working on that there was more awareness about
And they said that they're right now they have about 400 employees, and they haven't said how many employees are going to be affected by this. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Maybe later this week we'll understand what the impact is going to be on that. But that's unfortunate.
I was trying to see, like, what other games ArenaNet does. And there was Guild Wars, and there was 5 expansions for Guild Wars, and there was Guild Wars 2, and 3 expansions for Guild Wars 2. That's actually it. I was reminded, though, is that, because I'm just looking at Wikipedia, a great place to just, like, kind of get my mind reminded of certain things. There was a controversy a little while ago that went down on Twitter
I don't want to rehash that whole controversy, but perhaps you just remember there was some stuff going on with ArenaNet and some of the writing and so forth that happened about a year ago. I mean, I don't know if there was a significant fallout from that, but certainly, you know, that coupled with the age of the game, coupled with there's nothing on their plate besides these Guild Wars games and no sign of a Guild Wars 3, it doesn't add up, unfortunately, to a very lovely scenario. But again, I hate it because I don't like to hear people losing their jobs and so forth. I hope, again, they can get the capital, get the investment, the financing to start a new project. You know, a lot of these folks got expertise developing online games. I know people that love Guild Wars. And heck, the people that founded ArenaNet used to work for Blizzard. So, you know, sometimes you take these skills and, you know, take them other places. So. Questbuster in chat points out they just had a big event in Guild Wars 2 to end a big story arc. So it does kind of sound like the game's probably ramping down. But I'm sure the original Guild Wars still has people playing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just talked about that we're playing Phantasy Star Online. There's just always going to be, like, online games you remember, you want to go visit, and those games really lend themselves to being able to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, well wishes. I mean, they haven't laid off yet. They're just kind of like they're trying to like not do what Activision just did. And they're trying to like really warn people and this whole thing, right? Is this what I'm understanding?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, and they haven't really said how many are going to be affected yet. So.
Yeah. Hope it goes okay. All right. Anyway, let's move on to somebody that's profiting in a different way. You guys probably are familiar with a popular game streamer who's been on talk shows and things like that. Ninja. Whose real name is Tyler Blevins, who I will admit I haven't really watched. I have seen some of his appearances on these other things. I have seen the ads that popped into stream for some of the festivals he was working with, but I'm not very familiar with his content, but that's not shade against him. Props to him. He does something. He's done it very well, and as long as he is spreading a message of positivity for the community and not a message of being an asshole, then hooray for you, right? Like, I got nothing against him. Is he a positive guy? I don't know. Uh-oh. All right. Well, then maybe I'm better off being ignorant in this case. All right. But anyway, apparently he's teaming up with Wicked Cool Toys, who's doing, I guess, like not just like a T-shirt and stickers and that whole sort of thing, which, by the way, if you like to support your favorite streamers with that kind of merchandise, we're working on it. So I'm going to say we're working on it. I'm going to say Bobby's already like ahead of the game. Technically, if you know where to look, you could already get some Bobby branded stuff, but I'm lagging behind a little bit. Anyway, and you can get some 2-inch collectibles in certain packs, $5 each for little figures, 4-inch dancing figures for $10 that are themed around the emotes and the characters that are already in the streams, headwear for $20 if you want to have your own blue hair and headband and so forth. And there's other streamers that they're going to be working with as well, I guess, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean,
everybody does
interesting.
It.
Isn't it interesting now how, like, these are the types of things that I would expect around TV shows when I was a kid? Like,
well,
but now this is what kids are consuming, right? Your kids watch a
yes.
lot. Not Ninja, specifically.
No, they don't
watch
Ninja. They watch
YouTubers, right?
Yeah, they watch YouTubers. Like, they kind of go back and forth about who they watch. Like, for example, my kids are watching Dan TDM again, and Dan TDM, he has his own line of toys as well, some figures and his own, like, Minecraft book and stuff. So he's got all that around there. And plus, there's also, God, stupid Ryan Toy Review, who has his whole Ryan's Toys line that my youngest son is just bonkers over, and they're just the cheapest piece of shit crap that you can buy, but he loves that stuff. He just doesn't play with it. He just needs it, though. He needs all of it because Ryan's playing with it and looks up to him. But I mean, that stuff, there's a lot of, like, when you get that big, of course you're gonna merchandise and make even more money because it's only smart business. So more power to him, I guess. And it doesn't look like complete crap. At least those are kind of cute. So yeah, more power to him.
Yeah, I think it's great. Sorry, I got distracted for a minute because I was hearing Discord noises and I couldn't tell if that was coming through on our stream or not. So
I thought, did I shut down Discord? Hopefully I did. I'm going to just quit that way so that those sounds don't come through on stream. So sorry if I made you think your Discord noises were going through. But just in general, during the show is not a good time to send me DMs on Discord. Just throwing it out there. Very bad time to try to get my attention on Discord.
And they're doing blind box figures. Everybody does fucking blind boxes.
Yeah, unless you are one individual who hosts a show before this one, because you have to tell me things about when I can take the stream and stuff. All right. Anyway. So when are we going to release our figures? We have people asking, when do we get the Broccoli Farm shirts?
I never made them.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. We have a few more stories for you guys before we will get to Discord and open that up for your calls in our green room. But first...
Someday, though, if I have free time, I will definitely design it.
First, we have a few more stories for you guys. You're taking this one, right, Loki, about the...
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about... HoloLens. So Microsoft, some of their employees are demanding that Microsoft terminates their contract with the U.S. military because they feel that they're...
Sorry, this delayed. I have to get this out, though, because this made a lightning bolt go off in my head. Go, oh. Apricot Sushi in our chat, which is not a name I recognize, so hello and welcome, says, I was trying to remember what Ninja did that was crappy. He's the guy who said he doesn't stream with female gamers to avoid rumors or something. That was the weird thing.
Oh, I thought he also dropped the other F-bomb.
Oh, I hope not.
On accident, because he was mad at somebody.
Okay, that's not cool. If true, that's not cool, but if I don't have the receipts in front of me, I'm not going to pay that. On him right now. But in general, please don't you. If you have words like that in your vocabulary, and there are other very, very bad ones too that you shouldn't say on stream, you should consider removing them completely from your vocabulary, because there are certain words that you don't say or ever.
Consider your audience. How about that?
Yeah. That too. All right. Anyhow.
Anyways, so there's a group of Microsoft workers that are called Microsoft Workers for Good, and they have. Basically put together an open letter to their executives saying that, hey, we did not sign up to develop weapons, and we demand a say in how our work is being used, because they had signed a $479 million contract with the Army to develop augmented reality technology for use in combat. And they said augmented reality technology will provide troops with more than better information to make decisions. And this new work extends to a long-standing trusted relationship with the Department of Defense into this new area. And, you know, with that, they said, you know, we've worked with the U.S. Department of Defense on a long-standing and reliable basis for four decades. And you'll find Microsoft technology throughout the American military, helping power its front office, field operations bases, ships, aircraft, training facilities, and we're proud of this relationship as we are... of the many military veterans we employ. But still, though, the people that are working on these projects, you know, don't like the fact that it's going to provide increased lethality, mobility, situational awareness necessary to achieve overmatch against our current and future adversaries. I don't know. So they're just against, you know, the whole contract thing, but
A complicated story, and one that I'm not sure we can, like, solve here on OLR, even necessary one that we can get into the nitty-gritty details of. But, you know, it is fascinating how – and, you know, obviously it's about gaming Microsoft does the gaming stuff, and a lot of people have thought about HoloLens as, you know, what's next for gaming, because Microsoft has brought it out on stage at E3 and shown, like, the Minecraft and HoloLens and all this stuff.
Instead of, like, thinking of it as a way to make soldiers more lethal, I would think of it as a way to, you know, to help the soldiers from not getting killed, I should say. Like, you know, to, you know, protect them more. They look at it that way, and it doesn't seem as bad. But if you look at it as like, oh, it's going to make these, you know, future soldiers that are just going to be super lethal, I don't think that's really what's going to happen.
Yeah, HoloLens is not going to turn people into RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is very interesting. Well, I mean, but we know, I think now, like, HoloLens, and I guess they just announced HoloLens 2 today, because Bobby got into it on his show a little
bit. Yes, it looks awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, again, not really. And as Bobby pointed out in the trailer, if you watch the trailer, you don't see games in that trailer.
You see the real world applications of that thing, like fixing cars and bikes and surgeries and things like that, which is really, you know,
and
cool.
Once again, they don't show the depth, you know, the field of view that's on there. They say it's double in size, but I don't know if it was.
The old one was, it wasn't bad, but like, you know, because I've been lucky enough to try one, thanks to Bobby. And, you know, it's again, I kind of look at it as like a concept thing. And like, as a concept, I really enjoyed HoloLens. I really, really did. I almost kind of like there's things about it I liked better than VR. And probably a lot of it was the headset, because it felt, you know, it was kind of big, but it wasn't like, you know, it felt a little more. And then this one looks like it's scaled down even more, where it's just like the glasses and so forth. And, you know, the interactive detective game that he was showing me that we were playing, which I know he streamed at some point on his
channel.
Yeah,
I remember that.
His archives, is really neat. Like, it's cool that you can, like, scan the room and stuff, and the actors, like, participate in the room and everything. So, like, it definitely has, like, potential in gaming, even if not fully realized yet. But it's interesting that this time, unlike Kinect, which was developed for games and then kind of became this thing that really wasn't games, it's interesting that HoloLens is taking this approach where it's like, okay, we're kind of like the other stuff, and maybe games will happen, which is kind of what personal computing was always about, right? Were personal computers made for gaming? No, but it was a very, you know, things like word processing and spreadsheets and those sorts of things, right? Were some of the early things in computing, and it's like, oh, but it plays games too. That's even better. You know, and I think maybe that's maybe the approach Microsoft's taking with HoloLens. But anyway, I don't want to digress too much from the topic, which is about the Department of Defense using it. I think being able to have these like glasses that, you know, would show you basically like a HUD. You know, I don't know what they're doing for defense. So maybe my brain just goes to, what do I see when I play Call of Duty? I might see a radar, you know, that shows me a map of this terrain I'm in or something like that, which could be like, you know, imagine like if they're, you know, my brain can't help but go to here. I'm sorry if it's inappropriate, but I think about those stories I hear about the raid when they went to go get Osama bin Laden and all that, right? You hear those stories about that, right? Imagine if like the layout of that house had been something that was like in, like on their vision and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that would be so like interesting, and how that would have like changed it and maybe helped them and so forth and further with what they were doing. I think it's fascinating. But I also understand why some people don't want to be involved in making, because if it's used for defense, hypothetically, in the wrong hands, it could be used for offense. Right. And I understand why some people want to wash their hands of that. But isn't AR in general kind of like a growing thing anyway?
Yes.
So if not Microsoft, we know Google Glass was a thing not that long ago. Yes, they have.
Magic Leap's also doing stuff.
Right. Yeah. So if not Microsoft, won't somebody else?
Someone is, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like, I would just think, whereas I don't want to diminish the concerns. And heck, if anybody wants to come on the show and like talk about it from this perspective, I would so invite that. It would be awesome. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, at least if you're the one kind of developing it, you can kind of help make sure it's a good guys emphasized thing, that it's going to be something the good guys use and not something, you know, used for attack or aggression or so forth. Anyway, going to chat over at Twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Tiger Claw says, so they want to use the HoloLens as a way for soldiers to be able to see information during combat, kind of like what you see on those futuristic FPS games where the helmet they wear shows the info on the screen. We don't know, Tiger Claw. We kind of have to make it up. And when your brain kind of doesn't know things, you fill in the gaps with your perceptions. And for us as gamers, our perceptions is these video games like Call of Duty and these other games we play. So that's, so we don't really know, because you aren't supposed to know what the military
is. I like the picture that they show, was that Trimble has a version of the HoloLens 2 that's built into a hard hat, because they're using it for like construction and engineering and that type of stuff. Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, HoloLens 2 uses the next-gen Kinect, Azure Kinect, which I'm guessing is cloud-supported Kinect. Nobody knows how they're actually using HoloLens 2. And then SSJ100 Matt says, remember when Iraq bought thousands of PlayStation 2s to try to power their missile guidance system? Not sure if that actually happened or not, but I remember it was talked about. I remember something about our military using PlayStation 3s because they were affected by the other OS removal. Well, they weren't, because those systems definitely didn't connect to the internet. But like, they were supercomputers at a very low price. That was part of what made those PlayStation 3s.
Because the cell processor.
Exactly. So that's what made that whole thing attractive. So
yeah, military has, and we've heard that games like America's Army and stuff have been used to recruit for the military and so forth. So if you think there's
a game we haven't seen in a long time, I'm surprised they haven't tried to put out a new America's Army game.
Who knows? But anyway, if you think there isn't crossover with gaming when it comes to some things like this, just wait. And again, you know, maybe now, you know, there's a little bit of pushback on what's ethically appropriate, I suppose, or what have you, for the development of these things. But again, you know, like they're saying, they're putting HoloLens in a hard hat. Okay, maybe today that's prohibitively expensive for people to have everywhere. But again, where are we going to be in 10 years?
And then the other thing I was going to mention along with the HoloLens stuff, there is some other news around that, being that Epic Games has announced that they're adding HoloLens support to Unreal Engine 4, that they're saying that it'll allow people to use that to build, you know, games and 3D productivity apps. There's no games for it right now, but it's, you know, something that's going to be supported. So you could build something if you'd like.
And maybe that's a better approach for something like this to take, is instead of launching it as a gaming thing, launch it as a productivity, a life thing, that the gaming is, oh, then the gaming just kind of builds on top of that.
Well, a lot of people use Unreal Engine 4 as well for building architecture. So along with, you know, that whole thing we saw for Trimble, where they, you know, basically be using it at the job site to kind of visualize, you know, a 3D model or something like that, you have a, like a building or something you're designing. I mean, I could see that kind of all tying together.
All right, well, let's go to another type of AR. It's very different, but it's still AR. It's just a little, it's, you know, it's not quite the same type of technology. It's a little bit more scaled back, and that's Pokemon Go.
I tried using the photo app.
Which the photo app is, and which they call AR mode, is even more augmented reality. But the fact that Pokemon Go makes you go to places in the real world to catch Pokemon, that is AR.
Yeah.
And then when you, like, take a picture with your phone, that's kind of, I don't know, maybe Bobby's going to correct me on this, I don't know, but like the Pokemon Go picture AR mode, that's a good way to know what HoloLens does. Because you're still seeing the world the way you would see it. It's just now you see cute little Pokemon on your screen that you're trying to throw the ball at and catch. Now imagine that right up against your face. That's what HoloLens is, basically.
Except it's small.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm getting at, right? Yeah.
I know what you're getting at.
So, anyway, but Pokemon Go is doing a new feature that some people have been asking for a long time, and it is the ability to change your team. So if you are on the yellow team and you're sick of your gyms already getting taken, you can now switch to red or blue. Or, you know, I don't want the instinct players to hate me, because the reality is now maybe some people, that will be the appeal for them. They're going to want to go to the less popular team. I got to admit, I'm giving thought about going to yellow team. Just for the challenge and for the fun of being on the underdogs. Why not? I'm on the underdogs in Ingress right now in this area, so why not do the same thing?
What's it matter? There's no point to the teams yet anyways. Like, maybe if you
the
gave...
The coins, the gyms, that's it. Yeah,
if you just gave me a purpose, of, or if there's some point to the actual teams other than collecting coins, which I have quite a few. Here's how to do it.
So as of next week, February 26th specifically, at 1 p.m., they were going to enable a new item in the shop, a team medallion. It's going to set you back 1,000 Pokecoins, which conveniently you could buy with real world money, which I think is about it's about $10. Well, no, because you get like more Pokecoins the more you spend, but about $10 discounts if you spend more. Or you can earn up to 50 coins a day playing the gym game.
Well, it's per Pokemon you drop,
but you're capped out at 50 a day. You don't get any more than 50 a day, no matter what. If you've earned more, this just happened to me yesterday. I got a Pokemon that came back. I got my coins. Then when Snorlax or whatever I had at a third gym came back and said, Snorlax is back from a hard battle. 50 or maximum daily limit already reached. So you don't get any more coins. So 50 is the most you can get. So you do that for 20 days, you'd have 1,000 coins. But anyway, they got to pay the server bills and all that stuff somehow. So I imagine a lot of people are going to pay for it if they want to switch teams. I bet there's a lot of people who don't care and are going to just stay where they're at. There is one restriction. You can only use this once every 365 days. So I'm not sure exactly why they're doing that as a means to prevent some type of like maybe trolling or griefing or what have you. But they're also saying that if you have any Pokemon in gyms when you switch teams, they are returned with no Pokecoins earned. You cannot battle your own Pokemon. If you return to a gym that one of your Pokemon is defending, your Pokemon is coming back to you with no Pokecoins earned. So, interesting. Finally, that feature many people have been asking for. Let's see. Interesting. Shane is in chat saying, we could have done more Clam Pearl research if we were Instinct or Valor this weekend. All the gyms were blue and people were defending for some reason. And we ran into a lot of battle in a gym quest. Well, the good news, I mean, I was in a different part of town. I went to a place I don't usually go to. I went to old downtown Roseville, which I know has a lot of stops. And the reason why I went there, I knew they had a lot of portals in Ingress, so I knew they have a lot of stops. And it's not far from where my dad lives. So, and I had family engagements that same day that was limiting my time. So we went down there. And luckily, there was a pretty even amount because what happened, the worst thing that happened to me is that I was fighting a red gym to do one of my like battle in a gym things. And right as I took it out, I was like, oh, I'll deploy in this gym since I just took it anyway. And as I tried to deploy, a yellow player beat me to it, who had been fighting the red player at the exact same time. And I was like, eh, whatever, no big deal. So, but yeah, if everybody had been blue up and down the street, then it would have been more difficult to finish things.
Yeah.
But here's where, you know, you could consider changing your team so that won't happen in the future. So, anyway. And yeah, you know, do your teams really matter? Because this SSJ one her Matt in chat says, I'm on team red and my girlfriend's on blue. We haven't broken up yet. In all seriousness, it works out great being on opposite teams. You know, a lot of people that run with multiple accounts don't pick the same team on their multiple accounts. Not that I'm endorsing that, but the reality is we know a lot of people are doing that, and they will pick the other color to knock their own Pokemon out of gyms, which is what Niantic doesn't want you to do, but I don't know. Do you think Niantic will ever take steps against multi-accounters in Pokemon Go?
I don't think it's going to. I don't think they. No.
Probably as long as people are spending money, they probably don't give a hoot.
I don't think they will.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, we got a few more stories for you guys before we get to Discord. But if you want to call in, you might want to make your way over to our Discord at vognetwork.com/Discord and set up in the green room and tell us a little bit about what you want to talk about tonight in the Orange Lounge Radio channel. And we will get to those calls in just a little bit. But first, we have this story.
Yes, how nice of Bethesda lay out a roadmap of how they're going to fix Fallout 76. Because, you know, this is all going to be a huge shit show anyways once we finally get there. But it's nice to at least see it laid out. So what they're going to do for 2019, they've got three different segments. So Wild Appalachia, Nuclear Winter, and Wastelanders. So Wild Appalachia, they're going to have all new quests, game modes, features, and more, including they've added survival. There's going to be the new game mode Nuclear Winter with Nuclear Winter, Vault 94, which is a high-level vault raids, and additional new features. Wastelanders is going to add a new main quest, new events, and additional new features. But I can't help but think they're going to fuck this up somehow, because at the same time, like, just this week, they banned a player.
Is it just me, or is this too fucking late?
It's too fucking late.
Like, that's, I mean, that's great that they have a plan to fix it and so forth, but isn't it too fucking late? Or has No Man's Sky and the relative success of its own turnaround shown game companies that maybe it's never too fucking late?
No, I think it's too late. I think it's too late because I think people are just fed up with how the game plays. But it just also, it's the constant stream of fuck-ups that they're doing. You know, No Man's Sky was just kind of bad from the beginning, but, like, they were doing updates as it went along. It just wasn't like they were fucking up every single time that they tried to do something. So, like, for example, this week, they had banned a player who had, they said he had too much ammunition on him because he had played over, like, 300-some hours. And he has a couple characters that he swaps weapons back and forth to try to figure out which weapons he wants to run with or main with. And I think that he came to the conclusion that they seem to track the ammo that you pick up, but not necessarily the ammo that you drop or trade. And so because their system calculated it incorrectly, it made it seem like he had like an excessive amount of ammo on him. And so, of course, you know, a player that is dedicated to the game that's played over, you know, several hundred hours into the game, let's ban him because that's appropriate for one of the people that actually enjoys your game. So there's that. And then speaking of another game that's not getting such great success, but also is got their roadmap in there. Anthem, for example, is talking about what they're going to be doing going forward. So they've got kind of a roadmap of, Reoccurring updates, fixes, improvements, and optimizations. Weekly Alliance.
At least in the case of Anthem, like, it just came out, so it doesn't feel like it's too late, whereas like Fallout kind of already passed the holiday period.
Right.
But I can't help but look at this and go, all those issues I had with Mass Effect Andromeda, where the product was not released the way it was truly envisioned in many ways, it's like, here we go again. You did the same thing.
And here's the thing, too. Like, if for me, it feels like, especially when it's like a game that, you know, you're in a, they want you to spend a lot of time in stuff, maybe not so much without a monthly fee and things, but I almost would want to wait until it drops in price even more and they have all these updates done so that it's, you know, a little bit more polished. But even by then, there'll be another thing that comes out that's more popular that people are just not going to want to waste their
time on.
Apex
Legends, the free game, will get that same content.
Yeah, why should I spend money on a game like Fallout 76 when, for example, right now they're teasing on Amazon, there's a Fallout announcement that's going to be made, and it's most likely going to be probably a remaster of 3 or New Vegas. Why the fuck am I going to drop money in Fallout 76 when I can play a better game? And I don't know. I don't know why I would want to play Fallout 76.
Let's see. Going to our chat, Questbuster says, the patches with Fallout 76 have been an unending clown car of missteps. It's insane. Sounds like we need the yakety sacks here. The last patch wanted 38 gigs of space, but was only 4 or 5 in actual size. SG100 Matt says, if there was a game that ever needed a total reboot like Realm Reborn, it was Fallout 76. Well, but at the same time, something like Final Fantasy also kind of lives, well, Final Fantasy 14 specifically, makes its bread and butter off those monthly fees.
Right.
You know, and a reason to keep paying every month. I mean, thank God Bethesda didn't try to charge a monthly fee for this game.
Yeah, it's good for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. Anthem, on the other hand, is kind of a different case because it is still kind of newer. And although it does seem like it's not going to hit that. I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen the sales figure, so I don't know.
I just don't know. Like, I remember,
just know EA set some big expectations for it.
Like, when they first showed it off,
I feel like some people are into it, but not 6 million.
Just like when they first showed off, it looked cool, and then just like my interest just went downhill from there. It just was kind of like, eh. Because it's EA, and it's like EA just fucks everything up with the way their monetization and just everything. And this, it seems like this is almost like a cookie cutter type game that they just shoving in monetization in and just tons of grind in the game.
I just knew this was going to happen again. Like, I knew this was going to happen again. And I said this way back when we were first talking about why I was irritated with the Quarry and Ark stuff getting canceled and Mass Effect and all this other stuff and turning to this hot new thing that's going to save it, is I'm like, it's not going to save anything if EA repeats the same mistakes, you know, in this whole thing. You know, and there's a part of me that feels like maybe I owe it to my BioWare fandom or something to try it, but at the same time, I'm
no,
also
you
like,
don't.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't.
Because
like,
they owe
other
it,
games out there.
Because if we're going to use that argument that we owe it to a company to purchase their stuff, whether it's good or not, well, they owe it to us to make a good game then. Like, you know, you come up, it's a business transaction.
I would want to use the word complete.
Complete game. Yes. I think a lot of games,
there's a big difference.
And I think a lot of games that come out nowadays are not complete products, that they just kind of do this early access crap where it's not even labeled as early access. It's just, oh, it's incomplete. Like, even like Battlefield 5 had that problem where it came out and there's modes on the menu that aren't even accessible yet.
But isn't it interesting? We had that story on Dreams just a little bit ago earlier in the show that now is setting the stage, setting the expectations at that level of, we're going to charge you $30 for the half-done game and tell you up front, this is the half-done game.
And right. And
how would you have felt about Fallout 76 if they had taken that approach? Because I'll tell you how I would have felt about Anthem. A lot different.
I would have felt a little bit better about it because it would, if at least I would, my expectations would be lower. Also, the price point being much lower would be something, you know, to look forward to as well. Media Molecule, though, I have more faith in as far as the games that they produce and the quality of their products, so I know what I'm getting into with that. So I don't know. I'm just not really and just what I've seen so far of Dreams, it's more an interesting concept versus Fallout 76, which is just basically Fallout 4, remove all the NPCs and try to shoehorn it into an MMO, and that just doesn't fucking work.
All right, well, let's move on, because I want to make sure we have time. It's almost 9 o'clock, and I want to make sure we have time to hear from our listeners in a little bit. So let me quickly address this story, which is about the PlayStation Vita. And you already knew this. The days are winding down for the PlayStation Vita. We're almost at the end, because the official website for Sony Japan does say that only two remaining models, black and aqua blue, that's all that's left, and they will no longer be shipped in the coming days. So if you want a Vita for collector's purposes or that type of thing, you might want to grab one, because pretty soon the Vita is going to be officially no more, because Sony's ending production on them. So pour one out for the Vita. And I'm sure maybe we'll do another retrospective on that a little later. I don't know. Bobby Blackwolf pointing out the Kaz Hirai CEO Twitter account was gold this week over this. I missed that account. Interesting that he came back just for this landmark event, because, you know, that parody account kind of retired.
Yeah.
But I think it comes back for these big, you know, announcements and so forth. Anyway, we invite you to participate with our show. We use Discord to do it. Something we're going to be kind of actually like kind of like an idea or whatever that I want to change in the coming weeks, mm-hmm. I guess, maybe like a thing for the show. I know with this point we usually take phone calls. We're going to continue to do that. It's not changing. But I have noticed that, like, we get a lot of the – how do I word this? I don't want to make it sound like I'm upset by this or anything. But we get a lot of the same people that call in every
week.
We don't
get a lot of new callers.
What's that?
We don't get a lot of
new callers. We don't get a lot of new callers. And that's not bad. Like, don't get me wrong. I love the people that we talk to every week. We wouldn't do this segment anymore if I got sick of it. But I'm thinking, like, why aren't we getting more new people in here? And then I verbalized some of this on Twitter earlier. And then I kind of got to thinking about, you know, there's a lot of people in this day and age that, like, don't like to do customer service and talk on the phone. There's a lot of people that, like, they don't want to be called on the phone and talk that way. They want to text. They want text message, or they want to do live internet chat support or so forth. And maybe the reality is, like, for, you know, a show like this, a call-in radio show is, I don't want to necessarily say a dying format, but maybe a more niche format than I want to admit. So I think what you're going to see in the coming weeks is I want to invite, like, more varying types of participation in this segment so that we do get more diverse people, because I completely get it. Like, just like I don't owe BioWare my purchase of Anthem, you don't owe this show a phone call just because you listen. Y'all know you're always welcome as long as you're going to be a decent, nice person. Don't call this show just to be a dick, but I don't think anybody out there is going to do that. But I think we should also invite other ways. So we'll be inviting questions from chat and discussion topics from chat. So if you guys have any questions to fill in the time, great thing to do that. And I'm going to bring back tweets. So the tweets that come into us every week at twitter.com/OLR, we will use in this segment. So that way I'm not always looking at Loki going, well, the phone's dead. Any last minute stories? We got anything? So we're going to, you know, in the spirit of that, we always, you know, I've talked about this before. This show was kind of born of that roundtable discussion at a diner after we were at, you know, the arcade playing DDR. And then we go back to the diner and talk some shit about games. I kind of want to just invite everybody to the table in whatever way they feel comfortable doing so. So if that's through phone calls, cool. But if that's through just like one off, like, this isn't worth a phone call, but I want to know your opinion on blah, then cool. We can do that too. As long as it's like somewhat gaming related, or at least geek related. Because obviously tonight I would expect Oscar questions, right? That's fine. And then, of course, tweets as well. So come on back to Twitter at OLR. We will read your tweets throughout the week. So anyway, let's see. I think they're talking in chat about the whole Skype versus Discord thing as well. This is something that would have come up even if we hadn't changed platforms. But the reality is Skype technologically was preventing me from doing what we're doing here on Twitch. So I changed. Done. All right. Let's move on. We have a couple folks in the green room waiting to talk to us. So let's get to it. Let's get to some of these calls tonight. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Akdeft.
Hey, Akdeft. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Well, I want to talk about Pokemon Go.
Everybody's favorite casual, filthy game. What's on your mind about Pokemon Go?
Everyone's favorite dead game.
Yes, everyone's favorite dead game that's still somehow on the top grossing iTunes charts.
But anyways, I'm pretty sure you already talked about the Clam Pearl event, but I want to talk about well, my personal opinions on it. And if you remember, I called about the Phoebus event and how this a disaster that was.
Yeah, it was pretty shitty, but I thought this Clam Pearl one, they improved so much. What did you think?
Yeah, it was way, like, way better. Niantic learned from all the mistakes they made on the Phoebus event, and they made this event way, way more accessible for everyone to do.
It's almost like once in a while they actually listen to feedback, and it's pretty astounding when gaming companies do that.
Yeah, it's like, it was surprising for me because even the shiny rate for this, it was like, really insane. Myself, I got like 6 shiny Clam Pearl on the first hour.
Lucky so, yeah. You, because we went for like about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I got 2 shiny Clam Pearls and so did Alan.
Yeah, and at the end I got like 10 other people that probably played like, again, like you, an hour and a half or maybe less, got at least one or even up to 3. So it was a good event. And again, all the special research they made for this were like not that difficult, because if you remember with the Phoebus event, they were like, oh, make 10 nice throws or 15 great throws or do something like really, really insane that takes a lot of time. And with this event, oh, you just have to capture 1 Psyduck or 1 Krabby, or you have to do like only 1 or 3 or up. I think the most like great throws or nice throws was like 3 or 5. I can't remember.
It was. I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was 3 nice curveballs in a row, because that was the one I kept fucking up, and I got really frustrated. So, yeah, it was 3 nights. But, I mean, it's reasonable. It was frustrating, but, like, trying to get past a difficult level in a platformer and eventually you do it, frustrating. Not like I'm going to throw my phone into the ocean, frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, some were, like, kind of not difficult but time-consuming. Because, yeah, they were the ones, like, battle in the gym or do a raid even. But even those, they were not, like, really, really hard to do, because you just, like, have to find either a group or a simple, like, level 1 or 2 raid. And maybe even a level 3 one if you can do those. But still, that the event was, like, really great. And I'm amazed they learn from their mistakes, because we both know Niantic and how they can screw up things like really bad. They still do. But,
sure.
But when something good like this happens, when they have to be commended for something like this, yeah, I really have to thank Niantic for this type of events. And hopefully they will probably add more or do more stuff. Like even with the next Community Day, that it's going to be like a global same time event, not necessarily everyone at the same time, but the same time for everyone instead, like different time hours or zones. So that's also going to be like really, really great too.
I think the best event they did in Pokemon Go so far was the December Community Day, because it was the encore one. And the key thing about it that made it great is that it went all weekend long, but there were still some heightened perks for a 3-hour window to draw people out to play in that specific 3-hour window. But if you missed that window, oh, well, you missed some XP boosts, some walking credits, some lures, those types of things. But you'd still catch all the shinies and all the Pokemons and the things that were like kind of the must-haves. So I think that's the one thing, is that it seems like these arbitrary times that they pick, like, they don't always work for everybody. So that Niantic really needs to think about, like, I understand they want it. If they were to do a Community Day all weekend long, they couldn't get those photo ops of people all in one place at the same time. That's what they're kind of trying to do. But I think they really need to think about, like, could we do like Saturday or Sunday, pick one, and that's the one you're stuck doing. You can't do both, like that type of thing. And that technology exists within Niantic and within Pokemon Go, because Pokemon Go Fest, you had to buy a ticket to that. You had to buy Saturday or Sunday. And only once your ticket was like redeemed in the system could you see those Pokemon spawns in the park. If you tried to go to the park on a day that your ticket wasn't for, you didn't see them. So I think that would be my idea, is that maybe Niantic should offer choices. Like, here's three community event times. Pick one. But once you do it, you're stuck with that time. And that's like what that's the only three. So that way the people that are like, I'm going to go out and catch 47 shinies during the weekend, because I feel like that's what Shane would actually do if the times were available. It kind of lessens those power players from being able to play way more than, like, you know, the 3 hour period, which is a reasonable amount of time to binge Pokemon Go. I think you should pick one and stick with it, and encourage people to sync up and pick the window that works for them.
Yeah, that would actually be like really, really great. I think they do this for the Safari Zones too. So yeah, it's not like impossible for them to do it. So yeah, it would actually like be nice to have like that choice. Like, if you can only do Sunday at a certain time, or you can only do Saturday at a certain time, that would be like a really, really great like option. And you can probably like plan with your team or with your friends to, oh, we're gonna do Saturday at 3 p.m. or we're going to do Sunday at 10, I don't know. And you can organize that way too, and have like really, really great experience, because even with the system like it is now, you really have a good time. I really enjoy this community events like they are right now, but having that option would be like really better for everyone at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think these are some good ideas. But at least Niantic is kind of like, they're not like hell-bent on sticking with their old way. They are trying some new things. So I'll give them some credit for that, especially when it came to the Go Festival. Like, my understanding is last year, everybody I talked to who went this last year in 2018 had a great time. People who went in 2017, not so much. But it sounds like they really like implemented that feedback and made it a stronger, better event. I just kind of wish they did more of those type of events. Like, surely there's got to be a way for Niantic to like know these are the top 500 cities in the world, and have a small team of people for a couple days go to these 500 cities and look like, where would be a good place to, like, where's a big park that's dense with stops that we could have like an event, like, to really kind of draw people to the same place.
Or could they have it like, you know, even incorporate something like how they do those EX raids or whatever, where you get an invite to go to a specific park and you go check in at, you know,
that would be some cool features to explore. But anyway, I don't want to turn this into a Pokemon Go podcast, but I think, because there's lots of great ones already out there, but I think these are great ideas and great examples, and a lot of us are still trucking along on Pokemon Go. So, all right.
Yeah, and I suggest everyone, just like a final word, to check it out. Even if you don't like play like religiously, the game has like improved a lot in the last year. So again, I really, really suggest everyone that has played Pokemon Go and dropped it, or even hasn't tried it yet, it's a good social game. I really, really recommend it.
All right. That's a strong recommendation. ActDef, my friend, I'm going to let you go to try to squeeze in one more call here. So thanks so much for the call, though.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Anytime. Take care. All right, let's see if we can get to one more call here. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who is it?
Oh, sorry, I hit you on mute accidentally.
That's okay. I know you've been waiting a little bit. Who is it?
It's Metal Mayhem.
Cool. I always have to have you introduce yourself, because you never know who's listening for the first time. What's on your mind tonight? I want to take your first topic here you mentioned in the chat, because I'm a little pressed for time, but I'm curious of this question behind your first topic here.
All right. Well, has there been any game or games that you know is a total nuclear turd, for some strange reason, you love it anyway?
I love this question. Yes. It's a game called Dance Dance Revolution. And it's so good that we created a whole show that's persisted for 16 years about it. Because let's be real, I don't think the game reviews for Dance Dance Revolution were ever really that good. But here we are. So that's my number one answer. But if we want to take a step back from that obvious answer, how about you, Loki? A guilty pleasure. I already know your answer. God.
Well, you already know it's Earth Defense Force.
I already know it's Earth Defense Force. A guilty pleasure game where it's, you know, why or Twisted Metal. Well, I guess people actually.
I guess if we want to pick another obscure one that's a guilty pleasure game, it would be Gal's Panic. The arcade game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen you sit down and play that.
Yes. So it's the, I wouldn't even really call it hentai, but it's like, it's just an anime puzzle game. But it's semi-lewd anime puzzle game, I guess. But it's not really. I mean, it's an arcade game. It wasn't like, you know, Miss Nude World or something like that. That one, and there was the 3D one as well that was, I don't remember the name of it, though. But there's a 3D one. It's basically the same type of thing as well. And the name is just escaping me right now. But Gal's Panic, yes.
I'm looking at my phone to see if I have any guilty pleasure phone games. Oh, that Disney Emoji Blitz. I stopped playing it finally, but I was super into that for a little bit. So maybe like something like Tsum Tsum, because it's like a match three game, but it's still really adorable and fun. And yeah, I like playing that in the arcades. I don't like. I'm also tempted to just be sassy and say Pokemon Go. That's the answer here. You know, again, there's a lot of ways I think people would make that game better, but I can't stop playing it. And to some extent, Ingress would be an answer for that as well, I think. But Metal Mayhem, you know I'm going to turn the tables on you. What's your guilty pleasure game that everybody says is crap, but you can't help but love it anyway?
I'll go with the obvious one. Two words. Two. That game is so bad, so distasteful. The game was even made, but for some strange reason, I can't stop playing it.
Wait, what game? What game did you say? I think. Am I crazy, or did Discord? Or maybe Discord dropped out at just the wrong time. You said I have two words for you, and then all I heard was two. What's the game?
Postal two.
Okay, so the word postal didn't come through. Which I thought you said, I got two words for you.
It's two. The number two.
I'm like, I'm listening. What are the words? Okay, Postal 2. Yes, that game is absolute garbage, and so is the movie, but I get it. I get it. People can't help it anyway.
like I was saying, that game is in bad taste. It's a really shitty game, but I could not put the game down.
Was it your wife, or who was it that actually liked Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball?
No, it wasn't my wife. She's never seen that game.
I thought there's somebody that...
Was it Melody, maybe?
Maybe. Or? I don't know. Somebody affiliated with this show that was like, that was their guilty pleasure game. Because, again, those games are... They're not great games. We all know what those games are about. I remember there was distinctly... There was some...
Or girl, Goat Simulator. I like Goat Simulator.
There was a girl gamer
bad.
Who said that was the guilty pleasure game because it was all the dress up and all this. I can't remember who said that. Maybe it was Princess Irene years ago. That's
maybe.
The type of thing she would have said. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't want to, but I don't want to attribute things to people that didn't actually say them either. So I will just leave it as I don't remember. But anyway, great question. I'm curious for the chat as well. I'll read some of the chat answers here in a minute. But Metal Mayhem, thanks for the call as always. I really appreciate it.
All right, have a good one.
You too. All right. That's going to do it for the Discord calls tonight. But if you didn't get in, I'm sorry. You can always send an email or a tweet. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Or, of course, you can always tweet us at OLR. K-Art says, wait, is Postal still banned in Australia? I don't think games really get unbanned, do they? Maybe a long time later.
Sometimes.
So. Yeah, I don't. I mean, were there any efforts to try to unban it? It's probably one of those things where it's like, they're not exactly going to haul you to jail for playing it, but they don't exactly sell it in stores. So people are probably.
I don't think anyone sells Postal 2 in the stores, or
no,
does anyone sell
not.
PC games in the stores?
Not at this point anymore. Let's see. Shane in chat says, I kind of want that Tsum Tsum Switch game. Not going to lie. Me too, actually. SG100 Matt says, I was on a road trip this weekend and went to a town where they use Slack to communicate in the community. So strange. It must be a Pokemon Go thing. Why not? Slack is hard because you have to invite to Slack. We use Slack for Ingress, but that's because with the whole espionage and secrecy, you have to be in a secure environment for that stuff. Discord isn't as good for that stuff.
Yeah.
Although there's been talk about use because the voice integration in Discord is pretty great. Yeah, I thought most Pokemon Go communities use Discord. Plus, Slack is really limited. I don't know. Anyway. Let's see. And also, Fifth Dream today confirming I know three or four women who love all the Dead or Alive games, including X. Why not? And Miltonius Game says people don't like Doom 3, but I have played it many times. Yeah, that was the one. It was on the Xbox,
yeah.
The original Xbox, right? I actually own that because I like the old Doom games. And yeah, I just remember it being like, I was playing that game going, it's too dark. Can't see anything in this game. Yeah. Anyway. All right. That brings us about to the close of another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Checking in, did you have any last-minute stories, Loki?
Yes, I did have a quick little thing, and that is that there's some indie developers, Billy Laws and Max Keller, have got a rough version of Android Q running on the Switch, thanks to Homebrew. So,
of course. Homebrew's going to homebrew.
So
Homebrews.
Yeah.
That it?
How useful that is? I don't know. I still have a Switch mod chip. I just never planned to use it.
Well, that's not going
to be useful.
I have
one at some point. I could use it for something, but yeah, probably end up losing it before I end up using it.
All right. Any other last minute stories for us tonight?
That's all I got.
All right. I guess that's time for us to wrap up then. So thank you guys again, as always, for tuning into another episode of Orange Lounge Radio, whether you were here live watching us, whether you were watching us on demand on the Twitch library over at VOG Network, or you were listening on our podcast feed. However you are participating with this show, we thank you so much for spending your time with us this week. All we ask here at Orange Lounge Radio is please help us spread the word. We're the show where every gamer has a voice, but you know that we need more voices here to get more opinions and more perspectives on things. So please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word that way. And a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes goes a long, long way. And this is one I need to start putting out there more often, too. You hear me say the same thing at the end of every show, but this one is really important, too. Your hosts on Twitch are so, so good. So if you consider hosting us and putting us on your auto host list, that would be fantastic. That stuff goes a real long way. So that please consider it. I mean, but if you don't, we're still going to keep going with the show as long as we got it in us. So yeah. Appreciate it anyway. I guess that's it. So I guess now we go around and get everybody's final thoughts. I'll start tonight. My final thought is, even though my experiences were kind of varied, I look forward to playing more Apex Legends. I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to more Phantasy Star Online. So stay tuned to my personal stream at Rob Roberts here on Twitch. I'm going to be doing some more Phantasy Star Online. And I'm sure my good pal Delvin out there at VG Realness will also be streaming as well. And you know I like to give him promotion as well. I also look forward to welcoming Dark Soccer back in studio full time next week.
Yes. So. I was hoping to stream some this week. I didn't get a chance to because I was cooking like a lot this week. So I, you know, get home and then I have all this time to cook and I only have a finite amount of time to do things. So I don't know if I'm going to be doing it. I know I have to cook at least 1 or 2 days this week. I do want to do some more streaming. Maybe I'll do some more DDR. I need to get Stepmania up and running at some point. I have the PC to do it, and I don't have the theme done, but I may just forego that and just put something together just to get it on the machine. So I'll have to mess around with that. But yeah, if you guys are interested in how like my machine's modded, I'm not really modded, but I need to go and clean the pads again. I don't know how interesting of a stream that would be, but I do need to do that at some point.
And be sure to promote your Twitch again, because somebody just asked.
Yes, twitch.tv/LokiOLR. Unfortunately, I'm not regular in my streaming stuff. It's usually around 6 o'clock, 6:30 to like 7 or 8 or whatever.
The regular streaming thing is really hard for me too. That's why I save all my streams, so that actually that Phantasy Star one got a lot, like, well, not like a ton of views, but like it was like probably more people watching it after the fact than were watching it live.
Yeah, I'm surprised on like some of my views on stuff. That anybody's interested.
I think as more and more people are getting jaded with YouTube, I think Twitch is very smart to get into that video on demand stuff. So good for them.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, you can always go and watch my old stuff and. Like I said, I did Crackdown 3 the other day. I can't really stream that again because I'm already done with the game. It's kind of boring at that point, but
speedrunning.
You didn't miss much. Let's put it that way. You didn't miss much. It's pretty grindy.
We got to wrap up and get out of here. We will be back with Dark Sakura in 7 days, a new month in 7 days. It's going to be March. Yeah. I can't believe it. This year's flying by. We'll be back to do it all again in 7 days. Thank you again so much for watching Orange Lounge Radio and listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.